other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Of September 2008. I am Alex Jones, your host, and we're going to be here for the next 4 hours live, taking your phone calls, talking to Congressman Ron Paul about the controlled financial implosion being orchestrated by the military-industrial complex in a financially military-coordinated attack against the free people of the planet, not just the United States, and indentured servitude and financial enslavement and is being set up right now. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, will pop in for his weekly visit as well. And Webster Griffin Tarpley, another expert on the world banking system, been breaking down for more than a decade exactly what we're now witnessing by design. So, Congressman Ron Paul, fresh off grilling the private Federal Reserve Chairman yesterday in the banking committee in the House, will be joining us, Webster Tarpley and Bob Chapman, today. I'm going to break down the false reality that the public is being handed and given on the economic Armageddon that we're witnessing, just the foreshadowing of it that we're currently seeing, versus what's really happening in the real world where we actually live. And so I'm going to do that in the next 30 minutes before Tarpley joins us, then Ron Paul, Bob Chapman, in that order today. We will also open the phones up when Tarpley is on with us and Bob Chapman. We only have Ron Paul for 30 minutes, so we won't be taking calls. Who knows? I might take a few, but we'll see what happens there. Maybe I should open the chat room up. By opening the chat room up, maybe somebody should make an entry in the area of the Prison Planet Forum. There's a section for live questions on the air. I do peruse it daily, and perhaps folks should pose short questions there, and then one or two of your questions will probably make an on-air with Congressman Ron Paul, because I love the directions and the angles that listeners take us in, and a lot of times bring up points that are more salient and that cut to the heart of the matter, even more so than I would or our informed guest would. We have quite an audience to be able to pull on, though most of them are working when we're on the air, so can't call into the show. You can certainly go over to the Prison Planet Forum and put some of the questions in there. Also, we need to deal with the military situation. Last week, last Thursday, we made much to do about the Army Times calmly reporting that a armored brigade, combat brigade, from Iraq under NORTHCOM would have crowd control, riot control, quote, non-lethal weapon patrol of the United States. They're going to be rotating different brigades in, preparing them for a homeland mission. And there was a spectrum of responses to us posting that and covering it and writing some articles, several articles in the last week about it. It runs the gamut from people saying, oh, it's just training, it's no big deal, to people on the comment sections in the stories going, why isn't Alex covering this? He's covering it up. To people freaking out over it. Now, you know that's COINTELPRO, but we leave it up there. We let people post what they want up there, unless they call for murders of people. Believe me, we don't have the time or the energy to go through their erasing thing, so we just leave 98% of it up. But you've got to know it's COINTELPRO, folks. It's not just idiots. When they go in there and constantly accuse us, when we are the main authors of exposing the militarized covert takeover, when I made films on the subject 11 years ago, and then to claim that I'm covering up the military takeover, it's just unbelievable. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We have the stunt of John McCain trying to cancel the debate tomorrow night with his colleague. It's like Hulk Hogan fighting the Iron Sheik. It's all completely staged. They train together. They stay in the same hotel together. They come in the same limo to the WWF event. It is totally staged. It is a joke. But what's going on? They're grandstanding to make it look like the presidential debates matter and like these people are important and Bush is calling them to the White House today to have a economic summit. As the Republicans and Democrats circle the wagons, because in every major poll, right at or under 30% agree with the stick-up, I mean the bailout, the takeover of the real economy by the criminal bankers. That's what it is. But they know how to label things deceptively, and then we spend all our time just educating people about what it really is, and by then it's too late. Again, this is military psyop precision. Devastation. All laid out. We told you years ago the real money was moving offshore, getting out of the country. They planned to pop the subprime. This show, this radio show, didn't tell you that it was just coming, an economic collapse. We told you exactly how it would happen and what year it would happen, 2008, over and over and over and over again in news articles and guests and experts and Nobel Prize winners for economics, congressmen. On and on and on, we told you exactly what's going on. I mean, we're so informed about what's going on because we keep our nose to the grindstone that it's basically like we're police detectives that have been tracking a serial killer for years, and we've gotten so inside his mind that we know where he's going to strike next, what type of woman he's going to grab off the street next. We told you exactly what they were going to do, and they're doing it right now in front of you. This whole thing is a giant psychological warfare operation. But before I get into all of that and play some audio clips of Bush last night and break it all down, I was on Coast to Coast AM till 4 in the morning. Couldn't get to sleep till about 5:30. So I am chipper, let me tell you, this morning here on the air. I actually am fired up. I feel great. I'm going to be beat, though, when the show's over. But get ready. We got 3 hours and 50 minutes spanning out before us with Webster Tarpley, Ron Paul, Bob Chapman, and others on this live September 25th, 2008 edition. But speaking of psychological warfare, let me set the table for something. You know, not just the staged wars or the staged terror or the staged economic collapse. Let's break down what a country in receivership looks like and how they've sold the childlike public on accepting their bondage. Okay? And I wonder, have the police and the social workers, have you ever looked at the prison that you're also building around yourselves? Because we're all in this together, whether you like it or not. You're with us. You're with the American people. You're not in some elite position immune from this. You're going to get hurt just as bad, probably worse, in everything that's happening, because you're going to be expected to defend the corrupt system as things get darker and darker by the day. This is going to stretch out for years. If a child in front of 100 witnesses at a park falls off a jungle gym and breaks their finger or arm, which happened to most of us growing up, there's a good chance the parents are going to fight with lawyers, their lives, everything they've got, maybe just to keep the child. But about a third of the time, the government's going to take your child. Doesn't matter if you have witnesses. Doesn't matter if it was just an accident. Doesn't matter if your child's playing with their brother or sister and slams their finger in the front door. Something I did playing with friends one time, hide and seek, you know, running around in the house. You take your child to the hospital, they're gone. The hospitals have been trained and prepared like Stasi to be just watching and waiting. You drive without insurance, you're going to get a ticket, and a lot of times they go ahead and arrest you now. You don't have your seatbelt on in your own neighborhood pulling up to your mailbox. They arrest you now in the town where I live, Austin, Texas. You're a pregnant woman who sits down on a bench too long in New York. They arrest you. You bring your Gatorade with the top on it on the subway. They say no food or drink. They arrest you. These are all mainstream articles. You take a cake to your teacher when you're graduating from high school. You're the valedictorian. You pull out the plastic knives and forks. The police see it. You're arrested. Your degree is taken. Scores of examples like that. The book is completely thrown at the American people who are the milk cows, the sows that are bled. Illegal aliens, because they have a job to drive down the wages, break down the society, and bankrupt the states with unfunded mandates for health care, welfare, and the rest of it. I'm not attacking them. I don't blame them wanting to be here. I'm just stating facts. They come up here. They get pulled over drunk, no ID, no nothing, insurance. They get let go, but citizens don't. Now, I've set the table with that, and there's hundreds of other examples. Meanwhile, there is a story that's up on the Drudge Report. I want this up on InfoWarsAndPrisonPlanet.com with the headline, Police to Stop Responding to Crimes. That's right. You heard me read the headline, Local 6 News out of Florida. Now, this already officially happened 20 years ago in Dallas. I've had two cars stolen in Dallas. And they laugh at you on the phone when you want the police to come out. And then I said, fine, you can't help me, and hung 911 up, and the police showed up 5 minutes later getting in my face saying, why'd you hang up on 911? See, it's about the bureaucracy. It's about you licking boots. It's about you learning to be a slave. Police may stop responding to some crimes. Budget crunch forces move to be considered. And it says robberies of homes, robberies of cars, not to be responded to. Now, of course, they put an emotional salve and excuse in there. Very, very sick. Listen to this. Palm Bay, Florida. A budget crunch in Palm Bay may mean city residents who forget to secure car doors or close garages will get only a case number and nothing in terms of a visit by patrol officers and something is stolen. So, see, it's that excuse. Oh, you're bad, citizens, you know. You pulled up and took the groceries in and somebody ran in and stole your car. And so we're not going to investigate crime now. But you run a red light or you slow stop at a sign or you're text messaging in your car, we're going to arrest you. Your child draws a picture of somebody with a gun at school like every other boy does, we're going to arrest your child. Zero tolerance. But that's because it's only for the fat cows. Our fat slaves were sucking dry, not for real criminals. The police revision is part of a wider cost-cutting look at the Palm Bay Police Department, $200 million annual budget. Yeah, I bet they're not going to stop having cops out writing tickets. Little old ladies are asset forfeiture seizure, grabbing cash out of their purses. We're looking very seriously at types of calls we will go to, Palm Bay Police Chief Bill Berger said. Still, about 85 to 90% of the people who've had their cars broken into left the car doors open, but obviously, it's an actual break-in, we'll respond. On and on and on, because you know, we've got more serious things to do. They've more than tripled the number of cops in this country, and you can't get one. You know, woman gets mugged in the heart of town, calls for the police, but there's none around. He's out on the interstate, setting the trap for a live one to skin and wrap. Cue that song up. Drag him off the interstate, sock it to him, JD Blues. I want to play that later. The bottom of the hour coming in. So that's what's going on. Meanwhile, in Austin, Texas, every week I hear about them shutting down a major highway, shutting down downtown, panicking, hyperventilating, freaking out. A cardboard box blows out of a car, bomb squads, and the police always show up because it's meant to send a psychological message. There's terrorists everywhere, and you need paramilitary police and intelligence units and all the federal funding and the emergency centers that spy on the citizens and spy on the churches and spy on the peace groups. We need, because there's terrorists. Oh, my gosh. You know, they have all these fake drills, which they admit in their own documents, are meant to create fear, to create the realism of the terror threat. Well, it's the same thing here. Hot dog outside Philly ballpark causes bomb scare. There was a paper plate with two hot dogs on it laying on the ground. And the citizens, there's terrorists everywhere. There's hot dogs. Play the clip. This is the total mind control the public's under.
Tonight's Phillies game goes on as scheduled, despite a bomb scare at Citizens Bank Park just a few hours earlier. Three suspicious packages were found just outside of a gate that leads into the park. Fans who had already arrived for the game had to be evacuated as a precaution, and players were actually kept on the field. Well, the bomb squad arrived, and they detonated that package. Turns out there was nothing more inside than some hot dogs wrapped in duct tape.
There was packaging and duct tape. I don't see many hot dogs sold here with duct tape. But,
you know, that's a lie.
We just did what we thought was appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Phillies officials say the packages did not contain any type of explosive device.
Okay, so what that's about is, and see, they always blow something up, so that kind of creates the psychological, it's all Pavlovian psychological warfare. It's all opera conditioning. There's a boom, and see, they came out, and there was a boom. And so there's terrorists everywhere, and now they're putting face scanning cameras and brain scanning cameras up all over the country. Told you about that more than a decade ago. By the way, big mainstream articles last week just announcing, oh, guess what? All the local cameras, they're really Homeland Security and they're hooked in. They're watching you. It really wasn't for traffic after all. And if you don't want to hand everything over to the private bankers, the army brigades are coming. I know. Hey, listen, police, FBI, all of you, I know. Go ahead. Just sell out to the system. They're going to hurt you real bad. You're going to pay for your crimes in the end, okay? This new world order will fall. And any of you that served it criminally are going to go to prison. I and others am going to see to it. You understand? We'll be right back.
Well, I'm not the kind of kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine.
Police and military.
It's a death-defying life I lead.
They expect you to assist them in the bank robbery.
I die for a living in the movies and TV.
You know what you're into.
But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading lady.
Are you aware of the real world?
Other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from it.
But in the final equation, it doesn't matter. Reality is still there, looking you in the face, even if you deny it.
I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star.
Okay, Ron Paul is coming up in an hour and a half. Webster Tarpley in the next segment, and we're going to be breaking down in detail all the things that are happening with a controlled financial collapse. Here is some of the news we have today. Reuters, U.S. to lose financial superpower status, Germany. And all that's happening is the international banks are fully sucking the United States dry and having the American people sign on to their international quadrillion in derivatives. That's over 1,000 trillion. Now, a year ago, and we have articles up on Infowars.com that break down all the official numbers on this, it was only $61 billion that was owed in mortgages in the United States. And now it's only a little over $100 billion, even with the devaluation in the real estate market in many areas of the nation. Some areas are still holding firm, like Austin, Texas, to some extent. Now, how is it that they need a $5 trillion bailout? By the way, that's Bloomberg Financial last night saying, I have the headline right here, headline, bailout not $700 billion, more like $5 trillion. Just Google that. You can read it on Bloomberg Financial. And that is conservative. If you read the bailout bill that was secretly written up Sunday and released Monday, it states no one can review it. The Treasury basically becomes a private institution with the private Federal Reserve, and they are allowed to do anything, buy any derivatives, buy any stocks, buy international bank stocks. They can do anything they want. And then I was listening to talk radio shows this morning with all these disinfo agents and establishment economists on saying this isn't really a bailout. The government, the taxpayers, are getting really good assets. You know, they're getting some really good financial instruments. Well, number one, you're not getting anything. Let's say they were solid gold. They're not. They're fraud. They're just paper instruments, leveraged times a million. But let's say they were worth something. Private banks are having it handed over to them. The money is being given to Goldman Sachs and others. And guess who the former head of Goldman Sachs is? The Treasury Secretary, who still has huge holdings himself in it. So it is just mass crime right out in the open. And we have John McCain coming out and saying, let's suspend the debates. Let's suspend the campaign for now. Kind of a trial balloon for suspending the campaign period, as CNN was saying last night. Oh, yeah, CNN saying, are they talking about suspending the campaign period? You know, things are so bad. And then Barack Obama says no. Now he says maybe. They're meeting today at the White House to grandstand to have the Republicans and the Democrats team up and say to the American people, hey, we know in Rasmussen polls and other polls, 25 to 30%, depending on which poll you look at, some are 25, some 28, some 30, but around 25, 30% of you are for the stick-up that they call a bailout, the total takeover of the banking system of the real economy. That's all that's happening. They're just getting us even deeper into hawk with them through a fraud. So we have the Congress, we have both parties circling the wagons, saying that, listen, American people, you're wrong. You've got to sign on to this. You've got to say you're going along with it. You've got to say you believe in it. Because later we're going to take everything you got and remind you that you signed on to it. We have to convince you, at least publicly, to go along with this. And so all the parties and all the politicians are getting together to try to sell you on that idea right now. And it also props up the illusion that Joe Biden and Sarah Palin and Barack Obama, Senator McCain actually run something or do something. They are carrying out a scripted program. Both of the candidates, both the Republican Democratic candidates, have the very same set of advisors, the very same think tanks. It is all orchestrated right now. The bank robbery is taking place right now. And whether you're a fireman, a cop, a school teacher, an auto mechanic, a doctor, a lawyer, this is going to hurt all of us. This is only going to help the international crime syndicate. We've got to stop it.
Well, I just popped over the old state line. My headlights focused on a welcome sign. When hiding in the bushes there waiting for me was a big policeman with a capital P. Shouting, look out, stranger, you're heading for danger. There's a welcome sign ahead. He dragged me off to the old town square, the justice of the peace awaiting for his share. He said, look at here, boy, you better slow down. You're in a heap of trouble in this one horse town. So look out, stranger, you're heading for danger. There's a welcome sign ahead. I've got those drag them off the interstate, sock it to them, J.P. Blues. Yeah, welcome in the evening, sock them when they're leaving blue. On a low-down, shake-down cruise. Cut them, drag them off the interstate, sock it to them, J.P. Blue.
You better pray to me and you better lick my boots. I'm an officer and you're a lowly civilian. Go ahead.
A woman gets mugged in the heart of town. Yells for the cops, but there's none around. The down on the interstate setting the trap. A hunting for a live one to skin and wrap. So look out, stranger, you're heading for danger. There's a welcome sign ahead. When a sign says, welcome to God's country. God, you got competition from a slick JP. Fuzzy old buzzards are filling their cross with highway robbery in the name of the law. So look out, stranger, you're heading for danger. There's a welcome sign ahead. I've got those, drag them off the interstate, sock it to them, J.P. Blues. Yeah, welcome in the evening, sock them when they're leaving blues. A kangaroo court is the last resort on a low-down, shakedown cruise. Cut them,
them. Lick the boot. Here. Now I want you to lick them that way. Lick them this way. You learn, you scum, you civilian trash.
Absolutely an oldie, but a goodie. For the next hour and 15 minutes or so, because I want to open the phones up for people to be able to talk to Webster Tarpley. He really is a great political and financial mind. How is that evidenced? By so much of what he said coming true. Limited predictions, but always done in a precise way, always exposing the Anglo-American global banking cartel. Before we go to Webster, I want everybody to understand something. Everything that was foretold, everything we've warned you about, everything my films have covered, you are now seeing the front of the storm. It's like a hurricane coming in that's a Category 5 going 154 miles an hour. You're only feeling the leading edge before it hits. This is 20-mile-an-hour winds you're feeling. You're going to feel 150-plus-mile-an-hour winds financially. There's your analogy for the hour. And let me tell you something. Me and my wife were praying this morning, okay? I mean, I'm on my knees, folks. I got up here on the air and, you know, I don't put on a bluster, but I mean, that's just what comes out once I'm on air. I put a good face on it that we're going into this storm with our chins up and our chest out. But let me tell you something. All of you better get yourselves right with God, because this is going to make the Great Depression, whether it comes this year or 5 years from now, whatever the trajectory of this is, and it looks like sooner rather than later, it's going to make that look like a Sunday walk in the park, as they say, because we had 90% of the population being agrarian, rural farmers, and they were self-sufficient, and 7 million, according to major studies that have been done by universities, between 7 and 10 million, the conservative number 7 million, starved to death during the Great Depression. Starved to death. Now, if 7 million, we were only a country of 200 million, if 7 million starved to death and 90% were self-sufficient, then what is going to happen when we've got 90% living in the city, 10% on the farms, and only half of those on the farms are self-sufficient? And that's a, you know, that's trying to make it look good. It's probably less than 5% that are really self-sufficient. I got family, lives on the farm, lives on the ranch, and let me tell you, they're not self-sufficient. They are close to it with wells and gardens and canned foods, and but I mean, could they take care of themselves in a road warrior situation? That remains to be seen. Could I take care of myself? Certainly not, folks. You know, those skill sets are being lost. Now, remember, Pinkerton Security, Rockefeller Security, they went in during the Depression. They ran people off their farms and ranches. The banks would call in the whole note. By the way, that's still in the rules now. They've changed the law so they can take the pension funds. I want to ask Webster Tarpley. You know, he's trying to fix the financial crisis. He's been trying to stop it. He's been trying to put out ideas that I agree with on how to fix it. You know, take over the Federal Reserve, nationalize it, monetize it. I mean, there's a lot of ideas. Pump, you know, the $5 trillion, it's not $700 billion, into the people's hands. That needs to be done now, because it all is fiat. We're paying for it anyway. We have hundreds of other corporations. This is all-out war. This is the last, you know, few moves in a chess game here that's been going on for decades. Everything positioning us, everything getting our industry offshore, getting the family broken down, balkanizing communities, buying up local public utilities, handing them over to private corporations who just shut them down, strip mining the economy. So Webster Tarpley, before we get into the details of what's currently happening, and then the two parties circling the wagons to sell the stick-up or the total transfer to Paulson. I know by now you've had time, since it came out Monday, I interviewed last week, to read the bailout bill, the stick-up bill, and it literally is the private banking system becoming the government, taking everything, being able to steal homes, infrastructure. This is the executive orders where they can take land, work brigades. I mean, folks, this is hell on earth. You think things are bad. If they get the bailout through the way they want it, it is not a bailout, it's a takeover. So, Webster, first off, instead of getting into the economics, and I want to get into that, how do we, because I don't think there's any stopping this now, though we see only 28% in Rasmussen poll for it, so maybe there's some way to stop them, but then they're going to crash the economy and say we caused it, and then get a propaganda victory, and then later pass some bailout, so they'll actually get both. I mean, it's a very sophisticated game we're playing here, only getting the word out in some mass way could stop it. I don't know if we have the power to do that. So I think you're getting the gist of this long five-minute diatribe of the facets I want from your mind. I want to pick your brain, the listeners do, of A, what do you think of what I just said? And then B, how do we organize quickly so they don't take the farms and ranches, so they don't corporatize it? Instead of nationalizing, they're going to be stealing everything and handing it in to this warmock, this juggernaut, as the private banking system goes to war against humanity. Webster Griffin Tarpley.
Thank you, Alex. I would recommend, first of all, political mobilization, political action. The sort of survivalist side of things you can do in your spare time, right? Get some stuff in the pantry and all that. That's all fine. But political action, and a lot of people have never tried it, so this is now the time to try it. The power of the finance oligarchs has thrived in an atmosphere of public passivity, apathy, lethargy, not voting, not caring, above all, not being active, because politics is it can't be a full-time job for many people. But
yeah, we've had a snickering, giggling, morbid population trained that it's cute to not care and cute to be uninformed. And now, if people think it's bad now, they have no idea.
Yeah, you can just take the time you're devoted to some idiotic sporting event, which is just bread and circuses provided by these same Wall Street bandits, and devote that to politics. Now, obviously, the imperative right now is to mobilize to stop the bailout, and any reason to vote against the bailout is a good reason. And in the anti-bailout coalition, you can easily have a lot of very diverging points of view about what ought to be done after that. And there are. But certainly, the minimum common denominator of civilized humanity is that you've got to be against the bailout. Now, as you say, success is not guaranteed, especially because it looks like we've got a pan-oligarchical coalition. We've got all the oligarchs of all the different stripes who are now coming together to say that they're going to have to put aside their ideological scruples. They're going to have to put aside their various free market ideological pabulum.
Yes, Webster, they know it's a fight. They are circling the wagons, both parties against us, and even in Austin and Dallas, I'm listening to local radio, they are dispatching CFR members, globalists, to speak to the business councils and saying, hey, get behind this, and they're terrorizing people and saying, or there'll be a depression next week.
Well, there is, of course, a prospect of an immediate deflationary crash, but using the sorts of methods that I recommend, and these are, of course, New Deal methods, it is proven using these methods, you can stop a depression in a single day and begin to turn it around. But let's just look at it. Now, it's not so apocalyptic as people think. What we're in now, you might say, is the Herbert Hoover phase of things. And let's take it back to 1931, 1932. Hoover created something called the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, and with the help of Congress, put about $3 to $4 billion in it. And the $3 to $4 billion in those days was a lot of money. If you want to estimate inflation, I think a good way to estimate inflation is to use postage stamps. In those days, a first class letter cost 2 cents. Today, it's 42 cents. That looks like a 2,000% inflation rate. So, if you multiply the $3 to $4 billion of then by 2,000. You're more or less in the ballpark that you say, right? $4, $5, $6 trillion that have been thrown into this between Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the current bailout, other sorts of liquidity injections, and so forth. Now, the trick about the Reconstruction Finance Corporation under Hoover was that it was a failure. Why was it a failure? Simply because under conditions of economic breakdown, financial panic, and the things that we have today, it is impossible to maintain paper values. Forget paper values. They are irrelevant. You've got to think about the survival of civilization, the survival of humanity, production. You've got to produce the wherewithal for human life. Forget about paper. Forget about property titles. Forget about investment returns. Forget about all the apparatus.
We're talking getting back to the real economy, the basis of production and life.
Right. In other words, tangible physical production, commodity production. Now, in any rational system, we should be giving cheap subsidized credit preferentially to people who want to do something productive. That means manufacturing goods, farms, transportation,
but instead the globalists have been penalizing that and paying people to go offshore to put us in this position.
Exactly. What we've got today is the world turned upside down. We've got reality stood on its head. What we've got is a bailout program that only touches financial institutions, and everybody else be damned, even companies that still produce something useful. I mean, you've got to, the way the world is set up right now, you've got to have cars. That means you've got to have General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, and those assembly lines are a precious asset with the trained, skilled labor that are associated with them. You've got to keep those things together, because if you don't have that, you literally go down the tubes. You approach a point.
You can't even build army tanks without those people.
Thermodynamic breakdown means that everything grinds to a halt, and it does exist. And the people that are running this idiotic show today are basically not, they don't want to see that. Now, the Reconstruction Finance Corporation was a failure under Hoover precisely because it tried to prop up paper values, it tried to save insolvent banks. You can't do any of this stuff. We should look at the Reconstruction Finance Corporation as it existed under Roosevelt and Jesse Jones of Texas, who was one of the great people who built the United States. He had the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, and he said, I'm not going to try to prop up paper values and insolvent banks. I'm going to create things like the Synthetic Rubber Corporation, the Chemical Corporation, the War Plant Corporation. In other words, new plant and equipment, creating high-paying industrial jobs that soaked up unemployment, expanded the tax base, and led to recovery. And, of course, some of the recovery had to wait until World War II, but a lot of it was done, for example, during the year of 1941. That's the year that unemployment really disappeared under Lend-Lease. That kind of policy would be effective today. What we basically need today is a Lend-Lease program to fight the depression on the home front, right? Lend-Lease, of course, was
a Lend-Lease to ourselves.
Yeah, Lend-Lease. In other words, you don't need a war. You don't need to be producing for Britain or the Soviet Union or anybody else. You
could basically say, by our family land, there's several bridges that have collapsed this year in Texas. I mean, this is where I live, and we could start right there. I mean, we could start fixing
That's exactly where you should start, the rebuilding of infrastructure. But here's the idea. The system we have now is that the inherent power of the federal government to be its own bank and to coin money, because the Constitution says the Congress has the power to coin money. Today, that would mean the currency issuance of the United States and the interest rates ought to be decided by public law. That's all we have under our system. The House, the Senate, and the President signs it. It's debated in public, and it says the currency issue for the new year is this much, and the interest rate target is going to be this. So, not by the market, because there is no market. The market is now
JP Morgan.
Let me
stop right there. I am a free market person. The problem is, with these crime syndicates, we don't have a free market. Just like Enron had fake trading computers in California stealing over $1 billion a day for a year. I mean, what we're dealing with here is just a small coterie of criminals. Explain that to people, Webster. This is not free market. This is socialism for them. They take our money. They take our industry. There can be no investment in anything that helps us, because everything has to be greedily taken up to them and then leveraged to infinity so they can grab up other infrastructure, which they then greedily let rot in their hands.
Yeah, I don't agree with this slogan of the free market. I don't think there's been a free market anywhere in the world for several centuries. And to pretend that it has existed, I think, gets you on the wrong track. But the main issue now is the question of credit and the Federal Reserve. Now, this, of course, it's run by a banker's cabal. I think people are familiar with this. It was set up the way it is under Rockefeller and Morgan, above all, right? The House of Morgan dominates Wall Street, still does. J.P. Morgan Chase is the centerpiece of it. Jamie Dimon is the J.P. Morgan of today. So you have the inherent power of the federal government to issue money is somehow hijacked by the Federal Reserve. This came up in the hearings the other day. Helicopter Ben Bernanke was asked in the Senate Banking Committee, how is it that you do what you do? And he says, well, we were created by the Federal Reserve Act. The Congress has the power to issue currency, but they have delegated that power to us. Now, this is unconstitutional. You can't change the Constitution with a statute, and that is what the Federal Reserve Act did.
And lastly, you have to do it by going to the states. Now, we're going to come back and talk more about this, but remember last week, Paulson tried to tell Congress, well, we don't need you, but But then, because we have contractual agreements with the Federal Reserve, and now they're claiming they have contractual agreements with foreign banks. So stay there. Let's come back.
He wants to bail out foreign banks.
And now they're having to back off and say, okay, we need Congress to sign the dotted line, but can Congress constitutionally sign a blank check ceding imperial right of kings power to the bankers? And the answer is no. Can Congress legalize throwing children off cliffs? No, they can't. So they're all criminals. You're living history, ladies and gentlemen. The New World Order is making its move right now.
I'm gonna chase the sky.
History shows they have miscalculated at this moment of attack, at this moment where they attempt to take over the entire world financial system that they've already been sitting atop of, but they want to fully bankrupt it so they can consolidate it. At this point, they're very weak. They've exposed themselves as criminals. The public out of the gates doesn't believe anything they say. They're operating in a 20, 30-year-old paradigm when they controlled the newspapers and the television before the rise of the alternative media. Webster, do you agree that they have miscalculated and that we could certainly use their miscalculation to open up a wider front against their operations, and that this could be the catalyst that destroys the Anglo-American crime syndicate?
Well, I think we do need to mobilize against it. I don't see them operating according to a timetable. In other words, the process of descent into a new world depression is uncontrollable from the point of view of any single oligarchical faction in this polycentric oligarchical
system. But they are attempting to control it and use it as a centrifuge black hole consolidator.
Well, they try to turn the crisis against the people. In other words, there's a world depression. They want you to pay for it. We want them to pay for it. A world depression costs about $100 trillion or $500 trillion. We say the bankers should pay. They created the depression. They created this mess. The finance oligarchs should pay through the nose for the current world economic depression. People should not pay. No austerity.
That's right. They should have to disgorge all the real assets that they've been snatching up with the previous Ponzi scheme.
Yes, and above all, they should pay for the actions that they've taken that have destroyed and annihilated these resources. Again, I'd just like to get back to the Federal Reserve. What you have today is, if I'm J.P. Morgan Chase, I can go to the Federal Reserve and borrow money for 2% or less. 2% is the normal interbank rate, the federal funds rate, right, which the Open Market Committee sets. Now, the Open Market Committee has in it a lot of unelected, unaccountable people from the Federal Reserve District. But those people represent the banks of San Francisco, the banks of Chicago, the banks of Atlanta and Boston and all the rest of it, and they all vote. The New York Fed is always represented there. They represent Wall Street. So they vote to set the interest rates. And that then is imposed on the rest of us. So if I'm J.P. Morgan Chase, I can borrow at that interbank rate, that federal funds rate, which is right now it's about 2%. I can then turn around and lend that money back to the U.S. Treasury at 4.5% to 5%. Now, think of what that means. You're locking in a 2.5% to 3.5% profit, and often this spread is bigger. Often it's 5 or 6% for doing absolutely nothing. Why do we have to create the Federal Reserve so they can lend to J.P. Morgan Chase, so J.P. Morgan Chase can lend to the Treasury? Why not nationalize the Federal Reserve, cut J.P. Morgan Chase out of the game, right? Let them go and earn money some other way. And the inherent capacity of the U.S. government to finance itself comes into play. Why do we need to have this crew of Wall Street money center banks who are there simply to parasitize the public debt and the currency formation of the United States? Now, it gets worse. J.P. Morgan Chase is supposed to be a commercial bank. Commercial bank is supposed to, or used to, traditionally, they would make loans to businesses to create new plant and equipment, new businesses, new jobs, productive jobs maybe, or highly paid jobs. They don't do that anymore. J.P. Morgan Chase and the rest of them, Citibank, Bank of America, the really big ones, Wachovia and so forth, those are not commercial banks anymore. Those are derivatives monsters. Right now, if you look in the official statistics from the controller of the currency at the Federal Reserve, or the Treasury in this case, they will tell you that J.P. Morgan Chase officially carries almost 1 $100 trillion of derivatives. Now, that is six or seven times the gross national product of the United States. It's impossible. It cannot be maintained.
It's total fraud. Stay there. Our guest, Webster Tarpley, back in 70 seconds.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The international banking oligarchs have created a tsunami of fraudulent paper they use to buy real assets. Now they plan to give themselves dictatorial powers in the name of fixing the problem they created that will only deepen it. Webster Tarpley, author, researcher, joins us. He's breaking this down with his particularly insightful perspective. He'd gotten up to just J.P. Morgan Chase with $100 trillion conservatively in derivatives alone. Webster, continue.
That's just the official figure. They say $100 trillion of derivatives, but it's really something like 300 or how, we don't know how many, because it's not reportable. It's completely deregulated. One of the obvious things you'd have to do, to come forward with this package to say spend $700 billion, if you wanted any credibility at all, you'd have to say, and we're banning derivatives from now on. We're going to outlaw derivatives, because that's the heart of this crisis. Now, if you listen to the hearings, I think the Senate Banking Committee hearings with Hanky Panky Paulson of Goldman Sachs, Helicopter Ben Bernanke, this feckless, incompetent Cox, who's the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, and a guy called Lockhart from the Federal Housing Administration, they try to avoid saying that this is a crisis of derivatives. They say these are mortgage-related securities. That is not the essential point. They are derivatives. And in the course of this, strangely enough, Elizabeth Dole, who's running for trying to keep her seat in the Senate in North Carolina, she may get defeated, so she was a little bit more radical, let's say, in the questioning. She starts asking about credit default swaps. Now, as soon as you say credit default swaps, Paulson of the Treasury starts saying, that's a huge market. They're huge. Yeah, it is huge. It's at least $500 trillion. It may be as much as 700.
And that's what's bringing down AIG that had certified it. But you just moved over a key point you made. I want to go back to this now or later if you like, Webster, but make sure we cover it. The statement that this is people defaulting on mortgages literally has nothing to do with it. We're talking about $100 billion there. This is their excuse to blame it on the people. This is about the leverage derivatives.
Right. It's peanuts. In other words, the fact that some poor schmo got a mortgage, an adjustable rate mortgage, and then defaulted because he couldn't pay, is basically irrelevant. In other words, that's a factor of tertiary or less significance. It's just a side issue that they throw in. Naturally, adjustable rate mortgages should have always been illegal.
Yeah, they're predatory loan sharking, usury, but the point is it's a red herring, a scapegoat.
Yeah, because what they've got now is a theory, and you hear this. They say, a lot of loans were made that should never have been made. A lot of greedy people bought more house than they could afford, and that has led to the present crisis. This is absolutely nuts. You're talking about a derivatives bubble. I, again, estimate $1 quadrillion, that is $1,000 trillion to $1.5 quadrillion, to maybe as much as $2 quadrillion. We don't know, because none of this is regulated. None of it is reportable. One of the main categories is sure to be credit default swaps. Hanky Panky Paulson himself talked about mortgage-backed securities. That's obviously a derivative, because it's paper based on paper. It's not mortgages. It's not even a bundle of mortgages. It's a bundle of mortgages with an extra layer of derivatives paper added to the top. And I would say
it's betting on the index.
If you want to solve Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the first thing you want to do is go in there and say, look, any mortgage-backed securities that you have, we're going to strip off that top layer of derivatives and declare that illegal. We're not going to pay that. In other words, you come down to the following. The $1.5 quadrillion of derivatives is antithetical to the future of human life.
That's right. Stay there. It's a cancer that cannot be physically paid back. It's hundreds of times all the assets in the world. This is the black hole. We must escape it. We'll talk about how we do it on the other side, plus the amazing conflict of interest to have the former head of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, heading up this Titanic.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Another 40 minutes. We're going to be opening the phones up here in the next segment. 1-800-259-9231. Specifically today, in this hour, Ron Paul's on with us next hour. Congressman, I want to discuss and I want to talk about what is at hand now. Okay? And you can bring up the military deploying regular army to the U.S. or other subjects, but it really needs to be on subject. Not how I work for the Tooth Fairy or, you know, any of these other diversions or distractions. We normally have wide open phones, but on any subject. But right now we're looking at what's happening with the economy. Webster Tarpley, what about prosecuting these criminals? That's important. But you know, what concerns me the most is out of the gates the last few months, the corporate-owned media owned by the big banks and hedge funds and defense contractors that have pulled these scams, they are just telling us over and over again, no one did anything criminal, no one's bad, no one's going to be investigated, no one's going to be jailed. And that's really, just like Bush had them retroactively, you know, pass something to destroy the Fourth Amendment for warrantless spying on the American people. So he's trying to, you know, basically get a pardon retroactively. It's the same thing, and I'm sure you've read the section where it says nothing can be investigated, nothing can be reviewed by any court, the government, any agency, nothing these financial institutions ever did once they go under the umbrella of Paulson, who, again, headed up Goldman Sachs. They can use the money. They can leverage it. They can buy more derivatives. They can speculate. I mean, this is just unspeakably corrupt and wicked, and you have the very people that engineered it doing it. So how do we bring them to justice?
The first aspect is the draft sent by Paulson and Bernanke was this infamous three-page outline where Paulson says, everything that I do is above the law, nothing can be reviewed, not by a court, not by a federal agency. Now, this is blatantly unconstitutional. I actually think that some of the extreme provisions of that three-page document were put in there as a kind of a kabuki dance. In other words, he says, I want $700 billion, and I want it now, and you can't review what I do, and I get to do whatever I want, and to hell with you.
And then he can moderate, and it's the false
choice.
And
then he can become more reasonable. I believe that particular provision has already been dropped, because that would be sure to be overturned by the Supreme Court, if there is a Supreme Court, but it is obviously in flagrant violation of the Constitution. Look, I would focus right now on getting the policy straight. Later on, once you have state power, you can prosecute all sorts of people. You can't put the cart before the horse. The question of a world economic depression is that it goes beyond stealing. The question of a world economic depression is the wrong policies that have now been in place for decades. These are monetarist policies. In my book, these are the Milton Friedman Chicago School policies.
Okay, Webster, we're going to get into that in a moment, and I'm going to give you the floor to cover that. But I don't think that's cart before the horse. That discredits their entire current wrong policy, as you put it, but to them it's by design. And so, you know, justice be done, may the heavens fall, it's been said
sure.
In many different ways. And so we need to, while everybody's paying attention to this, a year from now, you know, people will be focused on whatever the new issue is or some Russian war, and then the mainstream media can basically create collective amnesia. You're saying that we don't need to point out they're criminals now while everybody's
looking? They're criminals, but here's the thing. You got to understand, the reason that you're seeing all these criminals is, as it's been said, when the tide goes out, you find out who's swimming naked. In other words, a lot of the embezzlement, a lot of the theft, a lot of the abuses are now being revealed by the fact that a world economic depression is in progress. And the roots of the World Economic Depression go back to people like Nixon, Kissinger, Arthur Burns, George Shultz, who's still around, so is Kissinger, meeting in Camp David, August 15th, 1971, the wanton destruction of the Bretton Woods economic system, the fixed parities and gold settlement that had worked remarkably well since 1944 to allow the greatest increase in human productive power in all of recorded history. That was thrown out under the pressure from the British, who were demanding gold payment. Not De Gaulle, not the French, but the British.
And ever since then, we've seen a decline in production and standard of living and an increase
it's been going down. And risk, above all, the growth of risk. About 10 years ago, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase went on television, and he said, you know, my bank is in the risk business, meaning we gamble. The J.P. Morgan Chase is a huge gambling casino. Now, that's not what they should be. They should be providing credit loans to corporations for plant equipment and the creation of
jobs.
It
should be an engine of growth and stability, not a crime syndicate.
And above all, this aspect of derivatives as gambling, that's simply a bet. It's a bucket shop. It's just a kind of gambling. And if that's what you're doing, you have no ability to come to the public and say, look, we're a public utility. You should bail us out. They're not.
Okay, go back to the point you were making earlier.
The way that the risk came into the system is because of the, above all, the greatest risk of all is currency risk. From 1944 to 1971, currency risk was minimal. But the system was destroyed. The British didn't like it. The British wanted floating rates and competitive devaluations. The Canadian dollar was kept floating the entire time.
And they made speculation the economy.
They basically, the speculators have taken over the economy under the aegis of risk. The problem is the entire system organized itself to protect against risk, and now you see that the credit default swaps that were supposed to be the way to remove risk, at least that's how they were sold to suckers, they are now the center of risk. So,
okay, explain to people what a credit default swap is.
Well, it's a kind of derivative. It's a so-called insurance on somebody going bankrupt. And now that they're all going bankrupt, this is bankrupting everybody. So it's basically it's a derivative in the sense that it's paper based on paper. It has built-in options and futures and other things, and it can have, you know, it can have thousands and thousands of elements in it. Basically, the thing that people have to know is that it's cancerous, it's toxic, it should be illegal, and it probably has been illegal the entire time. We had in 1933, there was an attempt to corner the wheat market in futures using options. So futures options were used to try to get control of all the wheat in the United States. That led in 1936 to a very good New Deal law that said options on agricultural commodities are illegal. They're a federal crime. That remained in place until the great communicator Ronald Reagan came along, and he abolished that in 1982. But again, the philosophy here is deregulation, privatization, and free markets. Those are the slogans under which the entire regulatory edifice of the New Deal was destroyed by people like Gingrich. Take the Glass-Steagall Act. There's another great example. The Glass-Steagall Act said, look, a bank is one thing. Commercial bank is one category of institution. You want to be a stockbroker, that's got to be separate. All during the 1990s, the bankers agitated, no, we don't like that. We want to have J.P. Morgan stockbrokers merged with Chase Manhattan Bank. Now we want to have Goldman Sachs as a bank. We want to have Morgan Stanley as a bank. So you go from investment bank, which is no bank, but really just a stock jobber brokerage counting house operation. We want to make that into a bank. This is absolutely nuts. This was the first thing they did in the New Deal, 1933. Carter Glass of Virginia, who was a very conservative guy, said, look, we've got to separate. We've got to have a firewall between anything that has to do with issuing securities of any kind and having responsibility for deposits. That was abolished. Take another example, the uptick rule. Under the New Deal, the Securities and Exchange Commission was created, and it said, you can't continue to sell short a stock if it's just going down, 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 down. Today, they abolished that. This character, Cox, who's the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, came in, and last summer, he abolished this uptick rule just in time for the great mudslide to begin, which is
and
now
just in time, they make it harder for the average citizen to declare bankruptcy. Just in time, they set rules where companies can steal pension funds. They plan this bank robbery very, very well. Now let's talk about policy. You know, we know what needs to be done. versus what they're doing. We have the circling of the wagons. We have this meeting going on at the White House right now with Obama and McCain and Palin and
Pelosi and
yeah,
Reed,
all of them in train.
And Barney, Frank, and Dodd. Don't forget Barney, Frank, and Dodd, because they are key.
Yeah, they've been involved in the deregulation in the mid-1990s. Clinton grandstanding, saying how great McCain is today.
Bob Rubin.
Yeah, so they're all together now with a sales job, and they've dispatched their minions in every major city to be all over the media saying, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this. Break that down.
Well, I think in terms of the politics, the most important thing is to have a mass movement of people of goodwill of all types to oppose this kind of thing, but with realistic demands. In other words, if people say, well, my goal is to go back to a world where there's no income tax and no taxes of any kind, this is a utopian program. It's frankly crazy. And if that becomes the program, then that's a failure. It's a little bit like what the communists did, right? The communists said, look, it's not enough to have radical reform. We've got to have the complete revolution and the dictatorship of the proletariat. This is crazy.
And then you get 60 million people starved to death in China.
But it meant that in any situation where radical reform was possible, the communists would come on the scene as a saboteur of what was really within reach. So you got to steer away from extreme ideological or utopian programs. Now, the New Deal alternative, which I represent, is not utopian. It is tried and true. It is tested. It has been done before successfully. It worked then. It would work now. It's the only thing that worked. If we had gone ahead during the 1930s with more of this Herbert Hoover laissez-faire, deregulation, privatization, free market, don't touch the free market, then we would have had death on a mass scale, and by the time World War II came around, it would have been impossible to mobilize anybody.
Okay, Webster, we got a break. We're going to come back and take calls from Chris and Brian and Lindsay and Matt and others. Always intriguing. Got Webster for about another 20-something minutes. And I want to be specific when we get back, just briefly, about my view about the economic situation and my idea about New Deal-esque policies. So I'm not particularly in favor of those, but compared to what we have with just mass stealing of the entire infrastructure, it certainly is better. Yeah, I want to get away. I want to fly away, but I can't do that. I have a family, I have children. This is my country, and I'm not letting the crime syndicate take it over. They can either take over now completely, or we can expose their crimes and bring them to justice. Look, the British banking system orchestrated the collapse in 1929. They restricted liquidity. They criminally consolidated land. The Grapes of Wrath, that movie, you should go watch it, but it was much worse than that. And then certainly the New Deal over the next 8 years or so leading into World War II, certainly that did create make work, that did set up jobs for people. A lot of folks didn't starve because of it. And so it truly is one of the lesser of two evils, because out of that grew the social services system, the CPS kidnapping rings, the federalization of our local police, the militarized control grid we now live under. The problem is in complex societies, you know, there is nothing utopic, and so you're always going to have some type of governmental structure and system, and you're always going to have corrupt individuals that know there's great power and wealth in government and in structures, so the corporations are going to move in, not your corporation, some little one, the big ones, folks, move in and take it over. So the mainline conservatives say, oh, free market, leave it all to the market, leave it alone. But then they use government power, government selective enforcement, to really create a system that is government. It's not free market. It's a corporate command hegemon. It's a predatory, mercenary system of law of the jungle with them beating their chest at the top of the temple. And so certainly, do I want a $5 trillion bailout, as Bloomberg is saying it is? Really, 500, you know, not 700 billion, but 5 trillion? Do I want that of the bankers? Of the people that did all this? No. Now, because they have deindustrialized us by design, stating it was to make us more easily managed, now that there isn't any real industry left, 80-plus percent of it gone, now that the people are in such debt through the loan sharking that's gone on, that's all we can do now is take the power of the Treasury, use it for what it was meant to do, and they're already devaluing the dollar, so might as well go ahead and flood the real economy with capital to generate an infrastructure for us to live in and on. And so, you know, I think that's where in the intellectual debates people get into this libertarian camp or into the kind of Webster Tarpley, you know, government helping us view. The point is, the government is bad. It's out of control. It does horrible things. But because it's become a minion or a control panel for this international crime syndicate, and it will certainly become that again if it's big. But I say in the interim, use it to help the people survive and then pare it down and control it in the future. Webster, we're going to come back and take calls, but I needed to just add my view on that. Do you have any comments?
Well, if you look at history, I think you have a very hard time arguing government is always bad. The one thing you probably can argue is that bankers are always bad. Finance oligarchs, finance elitists, financiers, finance capital, you can argue that that is, if it's left unchecked, that will be evil. The government could be good or bad depending on who controls the government.
Yes.
I reject this notion big government is always bad. You need a government that's powerful enough in some future moment, different than what we have now, with real leaders, a strong presidency, not a weak one. Again, a Lincoln, a Franklin D. Roosevelt, even a Kennedy was trying to do this, to stand up, to say no to Wall Street. Look at Kennedy fighting Roger Blau of U.S. Steel, saying no to Wall Street and forcing U.S. Steel to back down when that was a gambit put forward by Wall Street. Right now you have three possibilities. You have a hyperinflationary bailout, which is what you're getting right now. That leads to the fascist corporate state. That's
we have stagflation, with a collapsing real economy.
Sure, with a world economic depression, because it doesn't work. You can't maintain the value of paper. Otherwise, though, the people who come forward and say, do nothing, go back to the free market, that is a deflationary collapse right now. And if you have children, you have to look at them and say, do I want the next 5 or 10 years of their lives blighted and possibly ruined so that they can't go to college, that they can't get jobs, they can't have a normal life?
But I see that as a fever, and I'm not saying I'm for that. I'm saying let's look at it, because that would bankrupt the police state. That would bankrupt the Pentagon control grid.
But historically,
or let me finish, Webster, please. Or it could actually energize that.
If you look at 1932, 1933, you'll see that the deflationary collapse occurred in 1930, and Herbert Hoover said, oh, no, I can't do anything because that would violate the free market, and the depression just got worse and worse. And in Germany, it got bad enough so that you could have an actual fascist seizure of power.
No, I agree. It's a wild card, and so I agree with you. Letting it implode has a lot of really dangerous aspects, and that's why they built the police state. They intend to go to that physical fascist model. And so when we come back briefly, because I want to go calls for you, briefly then talk about the other alternative. Webster Tarpley's our guest. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are the websites. My new film, Truth Rising, is now available. From 11 a.m.
She don't want me.
To 3 p.m. Central.
So that I'm even here.
We're here live. Then Sundays with an abbreviated transmission from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Strangest thing, I got contacted yesterday by the folks with Great White. That's the music you hear right there. They're going to be in Texas doing an event, and I was being invited out to that. baby. I guess everybody's listening to the show, and they know I'm a fan. We're going to go back to Webster Tarpley.
You don't have to go.
Just a moment. Man, it's hard to turn music off like this. Crank it up for 30 seconds.
Tell me you won't go. It'd be so good together if we had the time.
All right, that's enough. We got to get back to the real world, what's happening.
Be alone's a nowhere state of mind.
Webster Tarpley, recap those three different scenarios. You hadn't got to the third yet.
The three are these. The hyperinflationary bailout, and CNBC is now reporting that The congressional leaders have announced agreement in principle on the $700 billion bailout with some, you know, window dressing, the stuff about no golden parachutes and some other stuff to make it look good. Lipstick on a pig. You have three possibilities. The hyperinflationary bailout, which is an attempt to maintain paper values by pumping in money. It doesn't work. It's a failure. This leads then to the fascist corporate state, but it also leads to things like the junkification of treasury bonds, the collapse of the dollar, and so forth. Then there's the free market alternative. The free market alternative says do nothing, and then you're going to get a deflationary crash. In other words, then you're going to get a situation where chain reaction bankruptcies go through the big commercial banks and the banking community, and ultimately everything grinds to a halt.
Possible road warrior scenario.
You're going to have, you know, no food in the supermarkets in a couple of months, right, or weeks. The third possibility is New Deal measures. The New Deal measures would be wipe out derivatives, seize bankrupt banks, and triage them. Some of them should be shut down. Some of them might survive, but wipe out the derivatives. Delete them. Cancel them.
And I say arrest a whole bunch of the criminals engaged
sure.
in derivatives to send a shockwave through so they know the predatory activities in the markets are over.
Absolutely. You want to do some high-profile arrests. I'm all for that. Stop foreclosures. You want to keep people, all the politicians now say, keep people in their homes. Great. Let's have a uniform federal law. If you foreclose on anybody, you go to Leavenworth. If you shut down a farm, a business, a taxi company, a trucking company, a ferry, a railroad, an airline, any factory that produces anything, a dry cleaner, anything, you go to federal prison if you try to shut that down over questions of debt.
Because people are literally surviving on that. And people are saying, well, you can't do that. Oh, we can bail out the criminal bankers, but we can't keep our factories open?
We want to have a bailout in reverse. We want to bail out production and people, not bankers. The other thing I think you've got to do is guarantee the social safety net. In other words, we're going to need unemployment insurance. We're going to need food stamps. We're going to need WIC for pregnant women to have enough protein so you don't get cognitive defects. You have a whole
array of... And so the CPS can kidnap them, too. That's important.
Of things like this. So you want to make sure that these payments are maintained. And then nobody tampers with Social Security, because then you're going to kill old people, or Medicare. No entitlement reform, no privatization, no looting of that by Wall Street, because that would be the next step.
And that will immediately start feeding private investment back into the real economy.
Yes, well, I think the step for investment then is you've got to say, look, the Federal Reserve is a failure. When the Federal Reserve was instituted back under Woodrow Wilson, the argument coming from Rockefeller and his school of thugs was, if you get the Federal Reserve, you'll never have a financial panic again. Well, it failed in the 1920s by stoking the bubble. They were doing that to try to support the British pound for various reasons in the 1920s. The Federal Reserve is responsible in many ways for the Great Depression of the 1930s. And above all, the Federal Reserve has absolutely failed as a regulator to deal with derivatives. Greenspan, Bubbles Greenspan, at the Fed in the 1990s, is the number one person responsible
for
instituting
derivatives. But I'm saying arrest Paulson, arrest Bernanke, they certainly need to be arrested.
And Greenspan, don't forget him. And don't forget Wendy Graham, the wife of Phil Graham of the McCain campaign, when she was at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in the very end of the first Bush administration.
Well, let's go over a list. Who needs to be arrested?
Well, Paulson, Bernanke, Cox, Greenspan, Wendy Graham, probably Rubin and Summers from the Clinton administration. We want to be even-handed.
What about the heads of these brokerage houses that we know have committed crime after crime?
Yes, we have Jamie Dimon above all at J.P. Morgan Chase. And so forth, right? You can go through the list. Fold of Bear Stearns, I'm sorry, of Lehman Brothers, and what's his name there?
By the way, the head of Lehman Brothers made $3 billion as CEO.
And again, the main thing is putting these people in jail is a deterrent, but that won't help you, that won't prevent you from starving. In other words, you got to put
food on
the
table. By the way, folks, don't think that we can't do this. This is how big things start. I mean, we've got to start talking drumbeat, arrest them, arrest them, arrest them, or they're going to continue. They're taking the bailout money already, the bailouts they got in the last year, and using it to run around leveraging the markets.
We have to put them in a situation where they'd be concerned about bail, not bailout.
Absolutely. Okay, Webster, I want to take a few calls here. I want to get you back up, not late next week, but early next week. It's too much is happening. Chris in Alabama, you're on the air with Webster Tarpley.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, this is Chris, Mobile, Alabama. I'm running a meetup group down here, and just I had some ideas. Yesterday, I had a bunch of our members calling faction and doing everything they could. Our representatives here in Alabama, especially Sessions, and I think it actually had an effect, or at least it didn't hurt. Sessions is now, I don't know if you know, he's come out fairly opposed to the bailout.
Yeah, it's mainly Republicans against it. The Democrats are hopping up and down for the criminal bailout.
Sad but true.
And then Sessions is also the ranking Republican on the Finance Committee, so he's a fairly good guy to target. And I'm putting a call out to anybody that's listening to the show to call Sessions, call his office in Washington, call his local office, send him faxes, do whatever you can do to kind of keep the heat up, and let him know that, you know, we're thankful for his opposition so far, but we don't want to see him do a turnaround because, you know, it's the whole bait and switch thing.
Tell him we want a bailout because, see, they don't want to do nothing and they get blamed for a depression. Tell them, no, we want bailouts for the American people. We're going to pay for it anyways. And yeah, by the way, folks that are rich, we're not going to have an economy if we don't bail the working class, blue collar, and lower middle class people out. I mean, if there isn't some basic bailout for the American people, the real economy is dead. You can pack up and leave the United States, and the depression that's going to ensue. Tarpley, you agree this a depression in the U.S., which we now see forming, will suck in the rest of the world?
Absolutely. It'll be a world crisis. And remember, the problem you have in the U.S. now is that since industry was destroyed under Volcker, Carter, and the first trilateral commission regime, like Obama now, everything is now imported. So the standard of living necessary for human life in this country now depends on international export financing, which is going to be destroyed.
Now, we've been made to be dependent by design, and a bunch of satanic, senile men are running it all. Chris, anything else? I appreciate your call. Anything else?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, yeah, along that line, whoever does call him, try to mention some of the things that Webster's talking about, you know, ending the Fed, putting the Federal Reserve, you know, putting them out of business and going back to the Treasury, you know, printing the notes.
And folks, what I'm saying is, and I appreciate your call, I am for moving towards the free market. I am more the Ron Paul school, not entirely. I'm kind of a hybrid between the two because I know that, you know, that there are no utopias. It's a process. But we're like a man who has been in a life raft for 2 weeks, sunburned, lips, parched, cracks in our skin, living on subsistence rations, who can't walk. And so that's why we have to have a bailout of the American people, because we may die on the shore if we don't have that. And so that's what I'm saying. Webster, you like that analogy?
One good example, LIHEAP, low-income heating assistance program of the federal government. It was supposed to be in the previous bailout, but Obama and Goolsbee said no to it. Now, any place where it gets cold, and that includes a lot of places, you're going to have people freezing to death this winter in the entire northern tier of the United States because the LIHEAP money runs out because there's not enough money in the LIHEAP fund in order to buy oil, for heating
or
kerosene or whatever people
use. It's simple. They cannot argue with us. Before they bail out the international bankers, which shouldn't happen, but just for the sake of debate, they help the American people first. They get the economy going again with a real stimulus.
Right. You could take the $700 billion. If you want to have $700 billion, here's what you can do. $15 billion of infrastructure in every state. I mean, you'd have to sort of average it out because some states are much bigger. But an average of $15 billion per state, right? Obviously less for the small ones, more for the big ones. You could then begin to rebuild your railroad system and your highway system. And
all of that localizes the money, and that goes into the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. You would basically give that to state governments, and they would subcontract to the private sector. It's not a government program in that sense. In other words, it does not create the federal infrastructure corporation, except if the bankers refuse to do it. In other words, if you can't get something produced in the private sector, if they refuse, then you have to go ahead and do it anyway.
Well, they've engaged in fraud, so we just seize their assets. Let's go ahead.
In this case, it's clear that infrastructure companies would be glad to get those contracts, and that would immediately begin to deal with mass immiseration, mass unemployment, and put a floor under the economy.
All right, Brian in Illinois, you're on the air with Webster Tarpley. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Webster. I'm a big fan of both of you.
Hi.
Thank you.
I read Synthetic Terror, and I've seen Endgame, and it all makes sense to me. I just wanted to say that I thought last night the little sock puppet, he got up there and threatened Bush.
Oh, okay.
He threatened the American people and their Congress. I mean, basically, either bail my cronies out or I'm going to burn your economy down. It's like Julius Caesar's family, you know, pay fire insurance premium or I'm going to burn your house down.
Look, I would say there is a real economic crisis. In other words, this is a real economic depression of unimaginable proportions. The point is, it may not be quite as rapid as he says. It might be. It's hard to say. But he's obviously doing this to try to stampede people. It's similar to what he did after
9/11. It's clear financial terrorism. Paul Watson has a great article on PrisonPlanet.com. We need to get out to everybody where it breaks down. This is financial terrorism.
It was a threat, Alex, a threat.
It's an attempt to extort what he wants. And that, of course, at that point, you have to say, no, don't do it.
And by the way, did you see the look on his face? He was so predatory. I mean, he is a real son of a bitch.
Remember, of course, that he has no power. He's just a walk-on part at this point.
Oh, he's a cutout.
Power is now located in this Principals Committee, the Committee of Public Safety. That would be Paulson, Rice, Gates, Mullen. Those are the most obvious. And, of course, Paulson wants to be named economic dictator of the United States. He wants to live in a juridical vacuum where he could presumably commit federal crimes and nobody could touch him because of the provision in this three-page thing that they sent, right, saying that Paulson is henceforth untouchable and above the law. Now, that obviously couldn't fly, but that's what he was demanding.
No, I mean, it makes Paulson and the private banks divine right of kings, God emperor.
Robespierre, the uncorruptible, is above everybody else. But of course, Robespierre didn't end up too well. So the main thing now is to mobilize to oppose this. And remember, it will fail. You cannot maintain paper values for worthless derivatives. The intrinsic value of derivatives is zero or negative. If you remember the old Little Abner comic strip by Al Capp, there was something called the Rasputnik. I think they meant the ruble in those days. And they said the Rasputnik is a currency with negative value because it's a nuisance, and you got to pay somebody to come and cart it away. You got to pay a sanitation man to come and get rid of it for you. Derivatives are of that nature. Derivatives have zero value. So anything
they're only good earlier in the
is theft.
Yeah, they're only good earlier in the Ponzi scheme when schmucks are still taking them.
Yes, I guess so. It's based on a mass delusion, and now that mass delusion is coming to an end. And again, if they want to be serious, again, when we make these arguments, these are basically killer amendments that clearly represent the public interest that ought to be attached to this bill. One of the things that could be attached to that bill as a wonderful killer amendment is ban all derivatives, outlaw derivatives. They were always illegal. We didn't have any derivatives to speak of 15, 16 years ago. It's all something that came under the Greenspan, Fed, the Wendy Graham.
No, I totally agree with you. Here we go. Thank you, Brian. Let's talk to Lindsay in Idaho. You're on the air with Webster Tarpley. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Hey, I hope you're feeling better today.
I am.
Okay, I have two quick questions for Mr. Tarpley. I believe they're both related. I heard a couple of days ago on your show, Alex, somebody mentioned about annuities that people have that are issued either by insurance companies or, I believe, banks issue them.
Yes, those are not protected by the FDIC.
That's my question is, in other words, if the insurance company or the bank that issues the annuity to this person goes under, that it's not worth the paper it's written on. Is that correct?
No,
yes.
It's not, because you have the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that insures deposits up to $100,000 in commercial banks, and that's all.
That was insuring the annuities, you understand?
Look when you go into your bank, there's a sticker on the door. It says FDIC insured. If you have a credit union, there's a similar federal credit union insurance entity.
And its $50 billion has almost run out. They're asking for more now. Go ahead, Webster.
Naturally, that could be replenished, and it should. That's another part of the safety net that has to be replenished. In other words, that's where money should go. So
you better believe they better give us our fiat crap when we go in for it.
Well, again,
see, folks, we're not even talking
money,
about
so.
You getting your money out.
Yeah, but the annuities, these are generally sold by insurance companies. They are iffy. Now, you're going to find people on television saying, well, insurance companies are heavily regulated. That's fine. But in a real economic panic breakdown crisis of the type we're facing now, I think annuities are in question. The other problem with annuities is the reason you get sold these things is the guy who sells you the annuity makes a tremendous commission. They sell it to old people who don't know what they're doing, because the guy who sells it to you makes more money on an annuity than anything else he could sell you.
All right, let's stop right there. Matt, Scott, Bill, John, I'm going to get to you, but Webster's got to go, and I've got to get into some economic news. We got Ron Paul coming up here in just a few minutes, so everybody stay with us. I want to give Webster the last minute to plug his second book on Barack Obama. I carry his first book at Infowars.com, but you've got the last minute, Webster. Tell folks about the new book.
I have two books. One is Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, and that you should order straight from Alex, and I hope soon also Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, and that is the story of Obama as a poverty pimp. Everybody wants to know, what does it mean to be a community organizer? Well, it means that you're working for a foundation like the Ford Foundation. Their task is to defend the existing social order, meaning the existing ruling class of financiers.
He manages tribal reservations. That's what poverty pimps do.
Poverty pimps take suffering people, poor wretches, and turn them into dupes and a saleable committee political commodity. So spread the word. Obama is a poverty pimp.
And
he wants to be president. He's a divider. He's a splitter.
And
he works for the
Foundation. So you've got Obama, the biography by Webster Tarpley, available at Amazon.com. Give that title out again, Webster. Give the title of the book out again.
It's Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography. Please buy it at Amazon.com, failing that at Lulu.
All right.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling.
We are steaming towards an interview with Ron Paul coming up in the next 10 minutes. He's going to be calling in. Later, we're going to be playing some clips of George Bush last night and going over what's happening. The United States is being imploded by the New World Order right now. And they've got the police state in place. They've got the FEMA camps in place. We need to have a loss of confidence in this criminal government. If we allow them to do what they want, it's not the government anymore, they will win. Now, I'm so busy doing Coast to Coast AM and doing other interviews. I got one with Texas Monthly tomorrow morning. I'm glad I just remembered that. You know, all this stuff going on, National Geographic calling up, that I haven't even had time to get my finances properly in order. You know, I'm just here at my machine gun on the front lines. The point is, I believe in gold and silver. And I believe that for people that still have paper assets, you're out of your mind if you don't move into gold and silver. And Ted Anderson, the owner of Genesis Communications Network, has been laying out this for years. He is able to get into gold when it is lower than it currently is, to offer it to you at below spot. And at near spot, at just incredible deals. And, you know, Ted, give me your take on what's happening financially right now, and then give folks today's offer.
Well, it's just like Webster was saying. We're looking at an inflationary depression. If we finance this deal, if we don't do anything about it, we're going to go into a deflationary depression. We really need to get away from this Federal Reserve system. We need to get into honest money, because this isn't going to help. This $700 billion bailout is just the tip of the iceberg. And like Bloomberg said, it's going to be closer to $5 trillion. Right now, the nation's debt is at $9 trillion. You add $5 trillion to it, you're almost doubling the debt, or I'm sorry, you're almost increasing it by 50%. That's just ludicrous. I mean, to put that much new currency into the system is just going to destroy the value of the money. Right now, without a question, yes, indeed, there are some really great buys right now. The British sovereign right now is trading at $241 per coin. That's a couple bucks less than it was the day before. I think it's like $5 less. And then we have the Swiss francs and the French francs, that stuff, 196. That's about a dollar and a half, $2 lower. And then we have the Mercury Dimes. And the Walking Liberty halves, I can't even get anymore. We were talking about those earlier on last week, and they're sold out, gone. Now the Mercury Dimes are starting to dwindle away, and there's going to be no supply there. See, people think that just because the gold and silver market comes down a little bit, that the supply is increasing in the physical markets. It's not. People buy this stuff and they put it away. They're not buying it to trade. They're putting it away, and it's no longer on the market. So all this stuff that's in the physical market right now is just drying up. I'm hearing it from everywhere and all sources that there's not enough available to go to meet just the demand from last week alone. It's crazy, Alex. Right now at this time, to watch what's going on, the only thing that's good that's coming out of this thing is John McCain had suspended his campaign until they come to an agreement. I hope they never do. Now, at least we won't have to listen
to
him
anymore.
Well,
if you Google gold shortage, silver shortage, they're trying to suppress it, the price they can. It's gone up over $100 in the last week. And when all they're going to do is devalue the dollar. I mean, the dollar's already a dead duck. They're just trying to pile more.
The United States dollar, the Federal Reserve note that we're trading today, is a dead duck. You said it just like, you know, that is just exactly right. What's going to happen is that dollar is going to fail. Call us at 1-800-686-2237. Everybody knows that the dollar's toast now. There is nobody out there that thinks that this thing's going to last. Again, 800-686-2237. Get out of the paper. Get into gold, because that's honest money and been money for 6,000 years. The United States government can't mess with that.
They absolutely. It's been performing at over 30% a year, while everything else has been in the negative. Stay there, Ted.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we're into the third hour. Congressman Ron Paul scheduled to call in the next 5 minutes. Sean, I forgot to ask you, are we calling him or is he calling us? You have his number. You weren't told whether we call him or he calls us. Why don't you call and find out from the crew, okay? Let's nail that down right now. I scheduled at 8 after. Okay, going back to Ted. Ted, give him the two gold coins you're offering at discount and the silver dimes. Explain those to people and what the price is.
Sure, okay. British sovereigns, 241. It's a quarter-ounce gold piece. And it is. It's a really good buy right at this time, and especially small gold. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you can put into the sole of your shoe and walk away with and have as money. Back in the Weimar Republic, when that fell apart and the Nazis were coming in and people were fleeing for their lives, they had to use the things that are of real wealth, and paper and Weimar Republic notes weren't doing it. You could have been a multimillionaire, you'd have been wiped out, but if you had pieces of gold, diamonds, emeralds, jewelry, that kind of stuff was valuable. Obviously, this gold is going to be valuable. Gold was valuable when the Egyptians were living on this world, and it hasn't lost its value since. This United States currency was attached to gold through 1971 and didn't truly become fiat until after that point, and now you can see what's going on. You should have something that's real, something that's solid, something that you can actually use as money if things really get bad, and we know they're gonna. And so there's no sense in even playing around with this thing. And another thing, Alex, you know, the reason why you have a credit implosion, I don't think a lot of people understand that money comes into existence through the creation of a loan. That's what the Federal Reserve is. It's a bank, and it lends us the money, and that's how it gets into the economy. But every time you see these defaults occurring, that means that money that's been lent into the economy disappears into the same black hole that it was created from. It goes away. And that's why these banks collapsing, that's the real issue there. Allow these banks to collapse and the money supply dries up to nothing and there's no currency for commerce. That's why you don't have food in the grocery stores. Everything comes to a screeching halt. And we obviously need to get away from the system, because the people of the United States shouldn't be forced to take on debt in order to have economic commerce. That's a crazy, crazy notion that it would even accept something like that. And yet it was sold to us in 1913. Now we're sitting here, the dollar is imploding, and the companies that created these derivatives and all these different things. You know, they're all falling apart, and it just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense to have your money in the bank. It doesn't make sense to have your money in annuities. It doesn't make sense to have your money in any of that paper stuff.
Absolutely. We got people calling up, freaking out, going, my annuity isn't insured, and they don't believe us. Then they call their insurance company, their annuity, and they go, yeah, it's not insured. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're telling you the truth. Give the brokers a call. You know, test Midas out. Buy a few gold coins, a few silver coins. Test it out. 1-800-686-2237. I believe gold's only going to go up. All the market fundamentals state that as a law of finance, a law of currency, a law of economics. But bottom line, this is something that is real. This is something that is scarce. This is something that has intrinsic value anywhere in the world. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. The brokers are there until midnight. Ted, can you, because that's another great deal. These deals you've been offering have just been amazing. Can you hold that deal again to midnight tonight?
I most certainly will. Give her hell or high water. I don't care where gold goes. I'll hold it till midnight, and then we'll watch and see what happens tomorrow. We may even be able to do it for tomorrow.
Briefly, gold's been all over the place today. I know it was up this morning. Where is it right now?
Well, right now, the last time I looked, gold is at 873.40. It had a high today of 891.40. There's this gyration going on because they don't know what's going to happen in
Congress. And the plunge protection team keeps dumping money, trying to rally the stock market, which everybody knows now that happened right before 1929. Open discussion of depression and things. Call Midas Resources today, 800-686-2237. Let me give you that number again, folks. I wouldn't procrastinate on this. I don't need to procrastinate. 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for popping in with us for the segment. I really appreciate all you're doing.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to go get back to shipping this stuff. We're way behind, so I got to get on it, okay?
It is crazy. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we are skipping the next break in between votes in the House and doing his work and his lunch. He's joining us. He'll be with us till about 23, 24 after. So note to networks, we're skipping the next break. Congressman Ron Paul joins us, former presidential candidate as a Libertarian, then for president. He has been, for decades, warning about how the international banking system would cause a world implosion. He's been intensely warning the last few months on national television, in Congress, and here on this radio show. And I specifically want to get from him the breakdown of what's happening, this unprecedented power that the Treasury is asking for to make itself a private hedge fund, and also to give themselves amnesty from any crimes that have been committed by the financial order. Paul Watson has the headline on PrisonPlanet.com, Bush and McCain blackmail America with economic terrorism. The two parties have circled the wagons. They're saying you must give us unlimited power and $5 trillion, according to Bloomberg's, the real number, Bloomberg Financial, or depression will strike, which itself is enough to send the markets into oblivion. So please, Congressman Ron Paul, who was just questioning Bernanke in the Banking Committee yesterday, the only one asking real questions, tell us what we're truly facing right now. Who are the culprits? Do people need to be brought to justice for this so that the criminal activity stops? And what is your idea of a plan to try to avert what's happening versus their stick-up bailout, Congressman?
Well, obviously it is very, very serious, and we've been warning about it, as you have on your radio program, and it's here. But when they say that if we don't do exactly as they say and turn over more of our money and more of our liberties and exempt themselves from any court in the whole nation, they're trying to intimidate us and stampede us into doing the wrong thing. But they're also right when they say that if they don't do that, we're going to have serious problems. Yes, we are. But we're going to have much more serious problems if we do than they want.
We lost them. I'll call them back.
Okay, classic there, ladies and gentlemen. We lost the congressman over the congressional phone line system. And so we are calling Congressman Ron Paul back right now on this key day. With the decision of this nation being decided, this is one of the most important crossroads in this country and in the world's economic history. Will the criminals that have orchestrated this crisis, that has nothing to do with the subprime loans. That's less than $100 billion of the trillions of junk and derivatives that are out there. Will they be able to orchestrate an expansion of their power out of the crisis they've committed to bring us even under greater control of the economic fascist? Or will the American people rally and say no and come up with a real plan to avert economic depression? This is make it or break it right now, and we are getting Congressman Ron Paul back up on the line. For folks watching at PrisonPlanet.tv right now, we are streaming live. Bush and McCain blackmail America with economic terrorism. Excellent article by Paul Joseph Watson that everyone should read and also get out to your email list, friends and family and others, because it's key right now that the American people understand why and how this is happening and who the culprits are. That is absolutely essential right now that that happen. And the good news is, in the Rasmussen polls and other polls, under 30% or 28% in some polls, lower in some others, higher in others, but never above 30%. Only 30% of the people are supporting this. And that is very, very exciting. Were we able to get the congressman back?
They got me on hold.
Fantastic. It is pandemonium up there at the Capitol with the phone system. And we will get the congressman back on with us. Lawmakers, financial bailout agreement reached. This is Associated Press. This just came out 10 minutes ago. Warned of possible financial panic, key Republicans and Democrats reported agreement in principle Thursday on a $700 billion bailout of the financial industry and said they would present it to Bush administration in hopes of a vote within days. Emerging from the two-hour negotiation session, Senator Chris Dodd, the Senate the Banking Committee chairman, said, "We are very confident that we can act expeditiously. I now expect that we will indeed have a plan that can pass the House, pass the Senate, and be signed by President," said Senator Bob Bennett, Republican, Utah. The bipartisan consensus on the general discussion of the legislation was reported just hours before President Bush was to host presidential contenders Barack Obama, John McCain, and congressional leaders at the White House for discussions on how to clear obstacles to the unpopular rescue plan. See, it's unpopular, so you have the establishment showing it's the establishment against the people, giving dictatorial powers to these private interests.
He's back.
Congressman, had a little snafu there, but at least we've got 10 minutes left with you. Please go back to where you were. You were dealing with the very people that have engineered this are now saying give us unlimited blank check power.
Yeah, that's what they want, and they don't want any review of any court. So they want dictatorship. They want to pass all the penalty and suffering on the average person on Main Street. They talk about illiquid assets, but what they should say is assets that have no value, then everybody would know what they're talking about. And they just want to dump the real assets on us, and the bankers and others who are in special locations will pick up pieces of the good assets that were left over. And we will have a depression or recession. It's locked in place due to the previous Federal Reserve action. The only question is whether this will last 1 year or 10 years and a full decade, and we lose a lot of liberties in the meantime. And I was saying earlier that it looks like, from what I sense in this Congress, they're opting out for a decade plus of depression rather than saying, well, let's correct our ways, let's balance the budget, let's cut taxes, let's bring our troops home and do the all sensible things. And what they're going to do is more of the same of printing money and spending. So that will prolong the agony and prevent the correction that is mandatory.
If we're talking about 13 to 15% real inflation compounded, that is going to be devastating to people on fixed incomes. But the general economy itself is already grinding to a halt right here in Texas, even in Austin, supposedly the most successful city in the country right now. Things are bad, Congressman.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had an addition over in our area, you know, along the coast. We've had the addition of the hurricane problem. But, you know, if you're starting to feel it there, you can imagine what it must be like living in Nevada and California and Michigan and all these other places that have been suffering for a lot longer than a month or two. It's been a year or two. And there's still a long way to go. And my point is, as long as you prevent and slow up the liquidation and the correction, the longer the pain and the suffering lasts.
What about criminal charges? I mean, there's no doubt that the brokerage firms and hedge funds that put out all this fake paper knew they were engaging in criminal activities. I mean, don't we need to have some investigations and then prosecutions so that Wall Street will stop engaging in these activities?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but probably if you wanted to prosecute the most guilty party, you'd have to prosecute the Federal Reserve Board and the politicians who promote that, because that's where the biggest fraud is. Yes, that is true. This encourages fraud and deceit and all this speculation. But I like to see that as local as possible. Just remember, not too many years ago when Enron went bankrupt, it motivated everybody to say, hey, there's not enough regulation. So they passed Sarbanes-Oxley, which was totally unnecessary and has hurt our economy. And Enron people were prosecuted under Texas anti-fraud laws. So
I agree.
The whole idea of getting the FBI involved, that's sort of the FBI BATF approach, and we don't like national police. So, yes, they should be convicted and put in prison when they defrauded the public.
So you want to see state grand juries in the proper role under the 10th Amendment that have very serious teeth, and the crime is public, so they need to convene grand juries right now.
Yeah, and we have proper authority for that, and it's and an experience with it. And I think the Enron case is a good example.
Okay, solutions. I mean, you have won World Economic Awards. I know you don't like to toot your horn, but you've won some of the most prestigious awards out there by different schools of economics. Of course, the Austrian School, the von Mises Institute. What is your plan? What would you do right now if you were the president and you were having this meeting coming up in a few hours? What would Ron Paul do?
Of course, you have to realize a constitutional president is cautious about not becoming a dictator himself. I know what the policy should be, of course, and you have to find out what the Congress is going to do. But there would be a lot you could do. You could probably, I think the most important thing is to send the message that we're going to quit living beyond our means. And a president can set the standard for that, and he has the most control under the Constitution on foreign policy. He could say, look, no more wars. We're done with these wars. We're not going to take on the Russians. We're not going to go take on people in Venezuela. We're going to start talking to the Cubans and bring our troops home and save hundreds of billions of dollars. That would send a powerful message that the dollar would respond to, and actually oil prices would come down. But then you have to get a consensus. You have to get people and say, look, are you ready for a new idea about government, something that the founders knew about? Government should be limited to protecting liberties. We have to talk about unraveling the welfare state, and we have to give up our ideas of world empire. And that is the most important thing a president could do. In the meantime, the policy ought to be shrink the size of government, decrease the regulation, work toward the sound money, remove the authority of the Fed to create money out of thin air, and get tax reduction. We need radical tax reduction. They want more money in the economy. Well, If we didn't have an income tax and did away with the spending, we'd all be a lot richer. And all of a sudden, I think we would thrive in a short period of time. I would permit the liquidation of debt to continue.
All right, Congressman, we have the AP reporting that financial bailout agreement has been reached. Basically, they're going along with almost all of what Paulson called for in his new financial imperium, or failing forward. Getting back to prosecution, I mean, if you're saying go after the Fed governors, are you talking about Alan Greenspan, the former chairman? Are you talking about Helicopter Ben? Who are you talking about?
All of them, but in a way, that's a symbolic gesture, because they are people who have been put in office, you know, through the system and the president. I don't think we'd get anywhere on there. But morally speaking, they're the culprits. And, you know, in 1792, when we had our first coinage act, they said anybody that counterfeited money deserved the death penalty. That's what they thought, because they hated inflation. And here we are. We endorse inflation, legalize it, and put, you know, how long was Alan Greenspan considered the maestro? The nobody would say boo to him. And here he set up the whole stage of this whole problem that we have.
And really, he's just a little man behind the curtain running the scam. We only had about 4 minutes left with you, Congressman. I wanted to get into the Army Times last week announcing regular combat brigades to be rotated in for crowd control with microwave guns, non-lethal weapons. We see the federal expansion, you know, preparing for social breakdown. So you and many others, and 70% of the American people in major polls are against the bailout. But instead, the establishment in Congress and both parties
are saying, we don't care, and we're going to go ahead and go with this handover to the private banksters after they've committed all these crimes. Are you concerned about civil unrest if a depression comes or if this deepens? And you know, how do we counter that when they start activating regular army groups in the United States?
Well, it's going to be tough because that's the movement. And, you know, they tell you what their attitude is with that provision in the Paulson's bill, which says we're exempt from the courts. We don't even want the courts to look at this. They may modify that language, but you know what their attitude is. And they want to be lawless. They don't want to be held accountable. And that's why it is extremely dangerous. I talk about the economic dangers, and we all should be concerned because we want a high standard of living. But ultimately, the only thing that counts is our freedom. You know, we could be very, very poor. We could wipe out a lot of wealth in this country. But if we had our freedoms and the market and sound money, we would all go back to work quickly. We would help our neighbors and our friends, and we would be wealthy in a short period of time. So that's why what you're talking about, are we going to have martial law? Or are we going to have more freedoms? And the more problems that we have, the more likely it is that we're going to have martial law. So I do think they anticipate and make plans for these things.
In closing, Congressman, you have to tell the fact that government is always co-opted by private corporations and corrupt systems, and no matter how much good you try to put into it, it always turns out becoming corrupted. But at the same time, people losing their homes, companies falling apart, the real economy being raided by Wall Street right now with the previous bailout money, banning the shorting only on themselves, but then turning the dogs loose on the real economy. I know you're against the bailout of the bankers. Is it a lesser evil to have some type of bailout of the infrastructure itself because we're like an emaciated person that's been thrown up on the shore? Or what do you say to that?
And what do you mean by infrastructure? Are you talking about material infrastructure, roads, highways, and things?
Well, all of it, and then people losing their houses. I mean, if we're going to have a bailout, shouldn't it be of the American people? I mean, I know that's bad, too, but, I mean, isn't that better?
On principle, I wouldn't endorse that, but I also always have a program of transition. If money is to be spent, we have to pay for it. Just recently, we had a disaster relief program, and I voted against it. And I did because we don't have the money. But I'm not against doing some of that, but I'm against building the deficit to do it. I would cut, if we need $10 billion for survival reasons here or infrastructure, I would cut $20 billion overseas, put 10 against the deficit, and use 10 here at home. And that's not perfect. But it's so much better than continue to spend money and expand our programs overseas and getting ourselves into so much trouble.
So the lesser of two evils. Well, I certainly agree with you there. This is the final question, Congressman. They're saying that they're going to go ahead and go with the bailout. Do you think that's going to fall apart, or do you think the scaremongering by both parties' leaders of imminent depression is going to get this rammed through? And then down the road, how bad do you think this will accelerate the hyperinflation?
Well, it's going to be inflationary, but it might calm the markets for a little while, but it will not solve the problem. It just delays the inevitable. But yesterday I would have said, boy, there's no way they can get these votes. Today, arm twisting and giving everybody benefits and boosting this package up and passing out more funds, it looks like they're going to defy the American people. And it tells you how close the two parties are, because you see all of a sudden you don't see McCain and Obama fighting over this. They both endorse these bailout principles.
And you see Clinton endorsing basically McCain. I mean, it's a love fest.
So that tells you that they are in charge, and that we've complained a lot about the political system and why anybody who truly objects to the establishment can't get very far in today's establishment.
Is that why you're endorsing Chuck Baldwin over the Republican candidate?
Well, I reject the two-party system, the two candidates. So, yes, I did pick Chuck over.
Congressman, I think this could end up destroying the New World Order globalist system. I think they've overreached, and this is badly coordinated, and I think this is finally going to destroy the people's confidence in this giant mega state. Do you agree with that?
I think that's a possibility, because I think they get to the point where they think they're like God and they can control everything. They don't realize the market really is more powerful than all the bankers and all the politicians. The markets rule it just takes time, and it's sorting out who's going to be the victims and all. They think they have control, but ultimately, you know, it's the underground economy that is the real economy. So I think they could overstep themselves, and hopefully we can come out with a better world afterwards.
Well, we're really blessed to have you up there watching the Banking Crime Syndicate there on the House Banking Committee, Congressman, and we just want to thank you. Please plug some of the websites and the book or any other information or any congressional websites that people might want to check into.
Okay, if you go to ronpaul.org and go to all my websites, but the most significant right now is Campaign for Liberty. But either one will find me. I'm found very easily on the Internet.
Sir, thank you for your time. Take care.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. There goes Congressman Ron Paul spending 20 minutes with us today. We appreciate him taking the time out to do that in his busy schedule. I know we have loaded phone lines here. When you hear a caller hang up, means you can get involved on air. 1-800-259-9231. I'm going to go to your calls, but I'm going to go to them in rapid succession. For me, that means extremely slow. but on this call list, John, who is up next?
Matt in the UK.
Matt in the good old UK. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, and I hope you're feeling a lot better, by the way. I just want to say I've enjoyed the topic today. Yeah, I just want to mention very quickly, I know you got a lot of calls and to your show. It's basically, I watched the Bush thing yesterday in the UK. And I just want to mention that basically where I live in the UK, there's a lot of houses been repossessed. And what the councils are doing is obviously the ones that have been repossessed, they're going to privatise and rent them out. It's very, very scary times in the UK.
Explain that again. They're going to privatise them. Who is going to privatise them?
The local councils, or the councils in the UK, all the houses, like where I live in the UK, has got the highest repossession rate in the UK. And what they're going to do is all the houses that have been repossessed, the council is going to buy them off the government and obviously rent them out. So obviously the government.
I saw some plans of that. So you have government engaging in predatory activity at every level. And, of course, yes. The United States has said it's going to, quote, bail out the British banks. They're talking about £200 billion, or that's $400 million-plus dollars, just in the U.K. with your 70 million or 80 million people over there. I mean, think about the magnitude of this. And so the people pay for the bailout, and then they get their houses taken, and then government takes your tax money locally and buys the houses again, so really the banks are being paid. That's just like in the U.S. they're saying top dollar will be paid for the junk securities and the derivatives and then the good homes and the bad homes, all of it, by the taxpayer, top dollar, and then we get to have our houses taken. I mean, it's just crime on crime on crime, and just a mindless public, just, you know, no idea what's even going on. They're just absolutely, like, people have had their ears gouged out, their eyes gouged out, their tongues cut out, beaten in the head with hammers, just drooling on the side of the road, just worshiping black ski masks, worshiping cameras, worshiping FEMA camps. I mean, I feel sorry for people.
I mean, the people in the UK are blinded by this because, like, the mortgage interest rate has gone up by 8%, 9%, even 10% in the UK, and people just can't afford it. I mean, like, the I don't know what it's like in the US for, like, we have, like, a minimum wage. It's like 5 to 52 UK pounds. I don't know what that is in US dollars, but people just can't live on this minimum wage. And then we hear our PM saying that they've created 3 million new jobs. 3 million new jobs where? You know,
amazing. Matt, got to jump. Thank you for the call. Scott, Bill, John, Michael, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger. When you dig my grave.
Man, Willie Nelson's voice is soothing.
Shallow. so I can feel.
By the way, just a program note, I'm going to announce tomorrow or Monday. We've already judged the essays. I'm trying to judge the videos. We want to try to be fair about this. And we already had one wave of contests. For $3,000, a $2,000 prize and a $1,000 prize. Those won a month or so ago. The second wave, it's been a few weeks since that closed out, and we got a couple hundred essays of each, hundreds of videos, and we're just, all of us been watching, reading, trying to pick the best winners. So we're going to get on to that. Also, Willie Nelson was on with us a few months ago, a month and a half ago, and a caller said, hey, you ought to have a 9/11 truth rally. And he said, I'd do that in a minute. And I said, well, you really want to do it? And he goes, yeah, set it up. And then at the dates when he was going to be in Texas, he's not here that much anymore. It was just conflicts. And he said, look, just come to one of my concerts. And I'll have you and Jesse Ventura speak there. And I had no idea how special this concert is and who else is going to be there. So Willie said, I mean, by the time he announced it, this concert was already sold out. And so I kind of like, well, I can't, you know, have a bunch of people come to it. We're going to have a free one. But we're going to stream it live over the web. It'll be at Infowars.com for free. And we've already been out there and wired all that up out there with his people. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And I have been so busy, I haven't even called Ventura back. He's set. He's coming into town in his RV. Last time I talked to him was like 3 weeks ago. I've been too busy. I'm going to call them tomorrow. And it's all set up. It's a done deal. But I'm just going to, you know, get them both set up to come on and promote the event on air in the next month. And in a few weeks, I'll announce where it's at and where it's going to be. But just know this. In late October, you'll be able to watch it for free on Infowars.com. Okay? I'm going to pay for it and stream it out and do the whole deal. Willie was offering to hook up his own stuff and do it. And I just said, look, I don't want to bug you. And frankly, with all the economic stuff that's happening, all the things that are going on, I haven't really been thinking about it much. You know, it's exciting, but at the same time, people who never met celebrities, who don't know celebrities, or haven't hung out with real celebrities, you know, people think it's like cloud nine and some magical kingdom that no one's ever been to, and you'd just be happy and fulfilled if you'd ever been there. And me, I just know so many, and I'm not bragging either. It's you know, the point is because they're, you know, they think the same, or they agree with me, or they like what I'm doing, or they reach out. And so many other countless celebrities have reached out, and I don't even – it's really embarrassing. I'm actually not very good at this. I had a huge icon of rock and roll call a few weeks ago, and I never even called him back. Most people would kill for this, and I am just like totally thinking about the New World Order and banking and FEMA camps and army brigades, you know, to occupy the U.S., and it kind of makes me mad. I wish I could enjoy – you know, having huge people call me up or, you know, finding out about icons that are listeners of this show. And I wish I had time to, you know, go play golf with Willie Nelson or, you know, get invited out to his place in Maui. I mean, he's just such a great guy. Can't do it. Got to stay here and be hated on and everything else that goes on. But it doesn't matter because it is the work that matters. And also, I'm a little bit gun shy, just a little bit gun shy. Every time some huge celebrity contacts us or we run into them and have them on air, it wakes up new people because it's a fad-driven, celebrity-driven society. People also resonate with celebrities getting out of the left-right paradigm and really covering hardcore issues. People resonate with the courage. But I also kind of cringe with some of the guests we have coming on next week. One of them rescheduled, I think, till Wednesday from Monday because of a flight situation, changing flights. But some big guests next week. And I almost cringe before they come on because I go, ugh. You know, I want to have these big people on so people can hear what they think about the New World Orders. People can hear their views. But then it'll get media attention, and then it wakes people up. It expands 9/11 truth. It expands people's awareness. But then the movement itself that is peopled with folks that have, I guess, never had my success, the hating just goes absolutely wild, and the manufacturing of baloney and the lies about me, and it doesn't hurt my feelings. Only in that it doesn't hurt my feelings that I'm being attacked personally. People are lying about me because I got a thick skin, and I'm kind of the type of person where it just, you know, in a sick way, I just go, but I'm trying to not be like that. I'm trying to not giggle and snicker around the office like Emperor Palpatine, you know, because that's a little too comfortable for me to get into that mode and just go, I don't care. But, you know, I'm trying to not be a hard person. And I'm trying to let my good side dominate and take over. And you know, then when I totally shift over to my good side, we all have a good side and a bad side. I just feel sorry for people because, folks, I'm legitimate. I mean, I'm the real deal. And am I perfect? No. But, I mean, I'm the real deal. And that's why so many millions of people resonate with this show. That's why people of discernment resonate with this broadcast. That's why people who are awakening, you know, resonate. And it hurts my feelings that a lot of people attacking us are not feds. You know, it's easy to say, oh, they're feds, and some of them clearly are, and that's been admitted before, but a lot of them aren't. They are just people who really are products of the culture. And so they don't like the New World Order, and they don't like what's going on, but they also hate anybody doing well. And see, that's how the New World Order sees things. They see things like anybody that doesn't like the New World Order or doesn't like tyranny, well, they're just jealous. They want the power. And you know, the old saying is that revolutionaries are closet wannabe elitist or aristocrats. And but I know in my heart, and I know from the people that I work with, the people I'm around, that there are good, decent people who love liberty and want to face down this tyranny. Now, the very process of unseating tyranny and resisting it does bring power upon those who take power in their hands. So we have taken power and to resist tyranny. And we have to be very careful that in that process, we are not turned into what we were resisting. And that certainly is a great danger. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But the fruits of this tree, I mean, if we were an apple tree, and Christ said, judge a tree by its fruits, this tree is laden. The branches are laying on the ground with just huge apples or oranges or dates, figs, whatever tree you want to imagine, fruit tree with pears, with grapefruit, you know, whatever. I mean, it is just so much fruit. The tree is just bulging with it. And so many of these people that attack me, they came and, you know, they woke up because of the information we put out. And, you know, and then if you're supposedly good people that attack me 24/7, well, then how is it that I woke you up? Or how was it that my work and others I woke up woke you up? I mean, how is it that we brought in such a mighty harvest, and then you're like a bad son who is 14 years old and is embarrassed to go out to eat with their parents and basically hates their parents and hates how your parents look and hate how they talk. Now, once you're 25 and have kids, you love your parents and realize how good they were and everything they did. But you're like snot-nosed 14-year-olds. Looking at your daddy. And who's your daddy? You know, a lot of you know it. I'm your daddy. And you don't like it. Now, listen, I never claimed I'm the best daddy in this movement. And you know, I've tried to eschew the mantle a million times. But I just can't do it. I mean, if I'm going to risk my life, go all the way against the New World Order, do everything I can against it, you know, number one, I'm not your leader. But I recognize a lot of people see me as a leader, and you've got to start being more sophisticated, folks. The government knows how to manipulate your envy, your greed, your avarice, your hatred, your lust, all of it. And they know how to whip you up into just incredible things. And, you know, every time I talk about this, my detractors howl with glee thinking that they're hurting me. You're not. In a sick way, through negative energy, you're actually building and energizing and pushing this show. And, you know, if you really cold-bloodedly hated me, you'd never talk about me. I mean, if you really cold-bloodedly wanted to hurt this radio show, you would ignore it and forget it existed. And so understand, attacks on this show only intensify it, only make it stronger. I mean, attacks with people out creating fake websites where they claim that I'm saying kill people and trying to get murder for hire going. That only made people realize that it was a fraud. And then there's other schizophrenics and crazies and nuts and people who I really feel sorry for. I wish I could sit down with them and, you know, get a hold of their hand and look them in the eye. And you know, because it's easy to hate some jealous, envious person who doesn't like you or dislike them or, you know, just disregard and not care and laugh at it. But it's sad when there's well-meaning, weak-minded people who have picked up on COINTELPRO and Mockingbird disinformation. That's what Mockingbird is. You know, the CIA puts out their info, then others parrot it. And just to see that, you know, to see people who I know are deceived and to see people I know are in bondage and people I know could have so much more potential with their radio shows and their films and their websites if they just wouldn't be infighting little bastards. And you know who these people are. There's hundreds of them. And they always attack. And there's always someone new they're attacking. And it's always about who's the best or who puts out what info or who's right about this. Hey, folks, we're now nearing the economic collapse. I mean, they're deploying regular army to the U.S. for a homeland mission against the American people. What's in John Warren Defense Authorization Act is now openly stated by the Army. The rubber is now meeting the road. And people, you really need to just have a gut check and really analyze your own mindsets out there and ask yourself what direction you're going in. And you need to do it now. Because we need everybody in this movement. So any of you that aren't government agents, any of you that aren't being handled, you need to really be circumspect about it and look at yourselves. And I try to look at myself every day, and believe me, I don't like what I see a lot of the time. And I have to pull up and behave myself. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, I'm a worldly person. And I've been around the block a couple times, and I don't claim to be perfect, but I try every day to be a good person. I try every day to not be wicked. I try every day to make moral decisions and to be sharing and loving and compassionate and helpful and to have empathy for people. And I know when you have empathy, it hurts because you see all the other bad things that are happening to people, and then you care, and then it gets to you. Or you could just be a hard person who just doesn't care, and I'm out for myself, and ask, so what? And kind of go through life, but then you shutter yourself in. You limit who you could truly be by not opening your soul up to the world, by not being a good person. So I would just tell everybody, we're coming towards points in time when things are going to get much worse than they are now. That's undoubted. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. The only question is how severe will the military, socioeconomic, political, societal. I mean, it's not just the government that's going to hell. I mean, the public is acting like ravenous demons in parking, in stores, on the street, in business. Hacking of all types is way up. Just stealing is way up. I mean, it's going to get bad. And I would challenge our movement to spend all the time you can exposing things we can stop. You know, the bankers are behind it. The bankers are criminal. The bankers engineered it. Don't drink sodium fluoride and the other toxins they put in there under that name. You know, learn how to properly filter. Don't take mercury-filled shots. Don't give it to babies. Don't eat GMO foods. Don't eat MSG. Don't eat aspartame. I mean, this is stuff killing millions of people every year. And this is something we can do now, something warning people. Folks are really listening. We've reached exponential flashpoint. Now is when people will actually listen to you. We can save lives. The CPS is in trouble. Child Protective Services, Family Services caught raping, killing kids everywhere. Rape rooms at the dormitories. It's all over the news worldwide in the U.S. and England, Europe. I mean, the government is really being discredited right now. We can go in, take over local governments peacefully. We can get rid of the electronic voting machines. We're having victories in many areas there where people fight back. But people say, give me a solution. It isn't some silver bullet out of Congress. It is you gut checking, looking in the mirror, not spending your time spinning your wheels, fighting and infighting with our movement and saying who's right or who's this or who's that or he doesn't cover this, he doesn't cover that. Somebody isn't covering something, call into the show. And don't accuse them of not covering it. Say, hey, you ought to have this person on. Hey, let me tell you about this. You know, have an attitude of winners because the world needs us, you know, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. They need people that love liberty and love God and love honor and love innocence. I mean, and you're needed, folks, not to have this morbid New World Order spell of just with each other. It's disgusting. And not just against me, it's everybody doing this. It has to stop. Those of you that are aware of this information have a sacred duty and honor to get this information out. Well, how do I do that then? Tell me exactly how. Hey, there's a million ways to do it. You think of the ways to do it. I'll give you examples. All right, we got loaded phone lines here. Somebody disagrees. So I'm going to skip ahead of...
They dropped off?
And there's no phone lines open?
Nope, they're all full.
They're all full. Michael in Oregon said you disagreed. If you can call back at 1-800-259-9231, I'll put you to the head of the line. There's so many here. I don't know who's first.
Scott in Arizona.
Scott in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Alex.
Hi.
My question is, we know that we're going to be the ones paying this bailout back, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you about this before, but I want to find out. We know it's $5 trillion, what Bloomberg's reporting is probably true. Where are they getting this money? First of all, where are they getting the money? Have they released that exactly, printed that
out? No, they're going to sell debt that basically the U.S. taxpayer has to pay for. Let me explain. They're just going to levy taxes and fines and fees, and they're going to raise some of the money by selling U.S. securities on the world market.
What are those securities that they've listed?
There's different types of bonds, different types of government bonds, different types of government securities.
Hmm. And that's going to come up with the $700 billion that they're talking about?
Yeah, it's called the national debt. But again, part of it's financed, part of it's done through. But again, then when those become mature, the American people through taxes have to pay off on those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how that works? They issue the bonds, and then when it's time to cash in, the 1 year, the 2 year, the 3 year, the 10 year, when it's time for those to come in, they're always coming in. We pay. Guys in black ski masks come and kick down your door and drag you out and sell all your stuff and sell your house.
Now, I got a question for you. You think they're going to come up with a debtor's prison for the Americans that are...
England is actually setting those up, and they're talking about arresting you now for debts in this country, yes. Our debts will not be forgiven.
That's what I'm wondering about, because that sounds like something they're going to come out in the future here real shortly.
Yeah, they're bastards, all kinds of stuff. Anything else you want to add, Scott?
No, that's it.
Good to hear from you. We're going to come back and go to everybody who's patiently holding. I'm Alex Jones. The websites, they are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Don't forget, I'm a documentary filmmaker. And the films are the most powerful tool we've got in the Infowar. Check out the websites. Get the videos. Oh, this song talks about the bankers.
We'll ride again. I am a Midwest farmer. I make a living off the land. I ride a John Deere tractor. I'm a liberated man. The rain, it hasn't fallen since the middle of July. And if it don't come soon, my crops will die.
The bankman says he likes me.
The bankman says he likes me. There's nothing he can do. He tells me that he's coming, but the clouds are coming too. He ain't my friend, and I'll ride again.
All right, Bill, Ricardo, Cole, Brian, Christopher. Bill, you're on the air.
Alex.
Yes, sir.
You know that they're understating it, the amount of money for the bailout in the bill, correct?
Yes.
You know that Bloomberg said $5 trillion, and he's getting closer, right?
Yes, sir.
And you know it's a lot further out than that, right?
In the bill, the way they have structured it, it's basically unlimited. It says they can just do whatever they want. So
exactly, and I've been following you and listening to a lot of this stuff, and you know that. We know that. Is this going to change anything?
It's going to rapidly devalue the dollar, and government is going to squeeze at every level to get assets to pay it.
Will we still be in a depression eventually?
Yes, eventually, and it will be far worse.
Far worse. Now, do you think this will change any of their agendas for Iran or confronting Russia?
By doing this, they will continue to fund their operations, so it will allow them to continue.
Right, and isn't this thing so far out that they actually need to capture even more resources and more control eventually to keep the Ponzi scheme going?
You said it all, brother.
And what are we doing here? Why shouldn't we have approached this as not as a bailout, but we should approach this as a buyout of the Federal Reserve and end this nonsense?
I agree. I've been saying nationalize the Federal Reserve, take it over and arrest them. And you heard Ron Paul saying they should be arrested. And that needs to be a headline on Infowars.com right there.
Yeah, I agree. You know what's going to happen here. And
they're going to bankrupt everything. They're going to suck everything dry. That's why that 1 in 10 college grads is Homeland Security. It's going to shift into a military-industrial complex economy, and it's going to be hell on earth.
And it's going to be at the barrel of a gun.
They're going to kill a lot of people. Yep, they're planning a Maoist regime, and folks, we're going into hell.
And Alex, wouldn't you, and I know you would because you're similar, you have children like I have, wouldn't you rather go through a few years of misery and face and help other people survive this misery and go back to a wealthy...
Yes, I would. I mean, there's three choices. Let it crash, let them expand the scam and crash it even bigger to consolidate later, or arrest them, grab these private institutions that have engaged in crime, and then bail the American people out and build the infrastructure back. And you even heard Ron Paul say, as big a libertarian as he is, we are so debased, there is going to have to be government support of the people.
Alex, there's not going to be any resolution to any of this until we approach the idea of the Federal Reserve and buy them out.
Well, not even buy them out. They need to be arrested. It needs to be directly, nationalized right now.
You know, when they talk about putting full brigades, and they're rotating them in and out of Iraq, is what I understand.
Yeah, no, they're going to build up a huge force. It's not one
that
brigade.
Means when they're here and they finally get disgusted with having to do this horrible task of confronting the people who will resist, then when they finally look like they may acquiesce to the people, then they're going to float them out again.
Well, they're also going to find out who likes it and who doesn't, and then keep them here in sheep-dipped local commissars. So you'll just have them in a local federal police uniform strutting around, everyone groveling, bringing them coffee and hot cakes, and strutting around in their glistening armored outfits and marching, and everyone, oh, sir, thank you, please don't take me away. Oh, God, I love the government. Oh. It's just a bowing, broke-back nation of people licking boots. Be right back. We're going to go to Ricardo in just a few minutes because he was on the line when the show ended yesterday. Then Cole, Brian, and Christopher. Bob Chapman rides shotgun, the internationalforecaster.com, for the rest of the hour with us. So much has happened since he was on with us last week. Things are accelerating fast. Bob, let's break down from your perspective with the biggest newsletter in financial history in the U.S., military intelligence before that, one of the largest gold and silver brokers in one of your incarnations, and you're back out of retirement now with one of the biggest newsletters again, the International Forecaster. You've been forecasting and breaking all this down for a long time. You've said within the next 2 years, total depression, basically no way to get out of that. Ron Paul was saying it looks like they are going to try to go into martial law with the Army brigades. The Congress is agreeing to the total bailout, basically making Paulson supreme dictator. The world economy, the power to buy, sell, raid any companies. The way other analysts have read this, it allows them to grab houses, infrastructure under executive orders. Break down what we're witnessing from your own perspective, in your own words, Bob Chapman.
Well, first of all, the people who are ostensibly trying to save us from all of this are the people who executed the whole thing in the first place. And the American public doesn't know that. No one has told them that. And
yeah, you'd think that'd be a big news item, a huge issue, that literally the architect of this, even more than Greenspan, is Paulson. I mean, he is the chief scallywag, the chief thief, the leader of this gang of pirates, and he's running around as our savior.
Exactly, and he was with Goldman Sachs when all this was going on, and so he was a contributor to the, in part, to the collapse of the economic system, and that was caused by voracious greed on the part of all of these people. And, of course, the ringmaster was previously Sir Alan Greenspan, and now we have Ben Bernanke, whose idea of settling a financial question is to use helicopters and piles of money that they can dump out of. And let me tell you something. Were they not able to pass this bailout, they would have in-ran the thing anyway and just continue to create massive amounts of money and credit to keep the system floating. The whole thing is all about bailing out Wall Street and the bankers. The numbers that we're talking about here the minimum losses over the next 5 years will be $3 trillion. It could get as high as $10 trillion. Nobody really knows yet because...
So you think that's a good number out of Bloomberg, $5
trillion? Is that what they said?
Yes.
Well, that's a good number. A very good number, because I'm being conservative, 3 to 10. And I don't know where yet, because I don't know what's on everybody's balance sheets, because they're hiding it. And these are the same people that Bernanke and Paulson are acting for to relieve them of all of this debt that they created through either their incompetence, their corruption, or their greed.
Well, I mean, reading this where it says no one can question, no one can investigate anything they want to buy, sell, any activity they want, you know, all of them retroactively have liability protection. That's not even the right word. They're literally being given a pardon.
Immunity.
I mean, this is just, and the public's just walking around going, ooh. I mean, I say that, but you only have 28%.
Even worse, Alex, is the Congress. They know what's going on. They've known for 4 years that Fannie and Freddie were bankrupt. It's a conspiracy of silence. And I'll tell you, if they vote for this thing, you people out there have got to vote everyone out of office who voted for it in both houses. We don't want them anymore. The polls out there are now showing that 66% of the people are against this. I mean, is that plain enough?
Actually, the Rasmussen poll, this is very accurate, shows 28% are for it. So that'd be 72% against it. Stay there, Bob Chapman. We'll come back, keep breaking this down. Go to Ricardo, Cole, Brian, Christopher, and others. 800-259-9231 is the number to join us. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are our sites.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, call's coming up here in just a few minutes. Bob Chapman with us for the rest of the hour, final hour. Bob, continue with breaking down what we're seeing unfold right now.
We won't know until probably Saturday what's going to go on. But all they're doing is buying a little time here. A little time, maybe a year, 2 years max, to extend the process of collapse. And the price that's going to be paid is this horrific debt. And then on top of it, you're going to have massive inflation because the money that's going to be put into the system was just created out of thin air, effectively, and it's immediately going to get monetized and immediately be translated to inflation, as opposed to that normal money and credit being injected into the economy. It takes about a year and a half or a year or 6 months for it to show up in the form of inflation. This happens immediately. So I'm calling inflation at 13.625%, and I would think that next year inflation would be over 20%. And if they continue to do that, because they don't need $800 or $700 billion, they really need $3 trillion, well, you got Weimarism written all over it. And we're going to go through the same thing that they did in Germany in 1920 to 1923.
Now, Bob, explain to people, because it hasn't been taught in school anymore, explain what 15% or 20% compounded each year inflation means. That's like someone coming in your bank account each year and stealing 20% out of it, and then it compounds each year until in just 3 or 4 years there's nothing left. Major federal studies, and those are even whitewashes, admit that in the last 6 years, half the buying power of people on Social Security has already been lost. My God, if another 20% is lost in the next year, I mean, this is going to be terminal for the real economy.
That's right. Absolutely correct. And, you know, they don't want to talk about that in Congress. I mean, these people are absolutely despicable in our Congress. They know what's going on, and yet they're going to go along with the bankers' program, the program to save the rich. And, you know, I'm not a rich guy, poor guy sort of person. I've been a lifelong, hardcore, rock-hard conservative. And I'm telling you, this is fascism first class. And I see them talking on CNBC about, if you can believe this term, and I heard Robert Reich this morning, who's the former evil dwarf of the Clinton administration, he's an economist at Harvard, talking about socialism and capitalism, the marriage of them two together, which would be called social capitalism. I never heard anything so insane in my life. And this guy teaches at Harvard. He's better off teaching tiddlywinks.
Bob, continue.
Well, we're going to have lots of inflation. We're going to have lots of unemployment. I think that wages are not going to increase. They've been increasing at about 3% a year. So inflation's 13.5%, 5/8%. Then we're losing 10%. You know, the average wage earner is. And so, you know, 10 years of that, you don't have anything in buying power. Another thing that people seem to miss here is that our economy has been slowing down into recession for the last 1.75 years, almost 2 years in February. Now, during that process, we've been having people get laid off. And so we've got three figures from unemployment. The 6.1 they tell you about, the U6, which is 10 7/8, and the long-term unemployment, and these are government figures, which is 14 7/8%. Now, that is going to at least double over the next 3 years.
But again, we have all the parrots on radio.
I've got to get to my punchline here. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Now, 70% of the GDP right now comes from consumerism. And I see some figures have been as high as 72%. We'll call it 70. The average long-term mean since the Second World War that the consumer contributed to GDP is 64.5%. If we just go back to 64.5%, the mean in unemployment will be 35%.
Now, I want you to slowly go back over that again, because that is so huge. Everywhere I hear it parroted, oh, unemployment's only 6.1%. But they cook that number, because after you go off the unemployment rolls after 6 months and are not reemployed, they take you out of the roll. But when you look at the real number, which they don't publicize, the long-term unemployment, you're talking about a staggering double-digit figure. And, I mean, my God, that is depression level to have. Go over those numbers again.
The short term is 6.1. The intermediate term, including the people that just left unemployment lines or unemployment payments, is 10 7/8%. The long term, people going back to 1990, is 14.7%, or 14 7/8%, which is 14.875. And the government doesn't want you to hear about it. Just like you said, Alex, they don't publicize it, but they do publish it.
Now, but then,
you know, they never talk about the birth-death ratio. This is a little trick that they've got that they use, and they hypothetically, out of thin air, pull figures out as to how many people entered the workforce and how many people got jobs that they think they got but they don't know. It's absolute insanity.
Well, that was my next question. Go over some of the tricks they use to cook the books, because
that's the main one. The birth-death ratio, as it's called. And in the CPI, they have another thing called hedonics. That's a real fancy name for hedonists, I guess. And that figure, what it amounts to is this. Somebody goes to the store, and they want to buy a pound of steak, and it costs $5. And they say, I'm not going to pay $5. I'm going to go over there and get that chopped meat for $3. So they're saying that when prices rise, people will go to lesser cuts of meat and get them cheaper, thereby reducing inflation. Now, if you can back into that thinking and philosophy, you ought to be in an insane asylum, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they're saying, oh, inflation,
they get away with.
They're saying inflation isn't bad because you know, if you can't afford a Cadillac or you can't afford a Ford, you can have an old Gremlin or Pinto, and so now the amount of money you have, basically has been indexed off into something else. It's just total crap. Let's take some phone calls, and I want to get, because you have a lot of expertise in this, after we take a gamut of calls here, Bob Chapman, into banning the short trades for 10 days, which is going to end at the end of the week, and you know, 700 and something financial institutions, it's only banned on them. And the way I see this is they have turned loose the financial institutions that are the architects of this doom that we're facing. They've now turned them loose on what's left of the real economy, and they're now crawling all over what's left of the Fortune 500 that does manufacturing, just blowing the daylights out of it and sabotaging it and gang raping it and climbing all over it and trying to short and drive down. I mean, all sorts of things going on. So I want to talk about that with you, Bob Chapman, because this appears just to be not just a power grab, but just an all-out military assault on anything not part of the criminal banking order. Let's go ahead and talk to Ricardo in New Jersey. Ricardo, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Alex, how are you?
Good, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk to you about a police brutality that happened in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, September 10th, my wife was, she had like a small lipo in her arms and thigh. So it was like early in the morning. So I picked it up like 1 o'clock. She looked fine, you know, she looked perfect. So she went to get my son. It was around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Unfortunately, she got involved in a little fender bender.
Okay, what happened to your wife?
So the cop took him out of the car, and they told him, listen, you're drunk. And my wife said, no, I can't be drunk. I don't drink. You know, yeah, you smell like alcohol. So they did the test. They make you blow that thing. Everything comes zero. So all of a sudden, this guy comes over, grabs it through her arms, and say, I just had a surgery. Please, it hurts. And the guy put it right against her car. She started bleeding really bad.
Well, that's what Iraqis, I mean, that's what happens to the Iraqis. This is how we're all, so they slammed her head in the car. What happened next?
And they were holding through her arms, and then another cop came over. They took my son out of her side. My son was crying. They put him in the car by himself, and the officer yelled, my son, you stay in the car. It's still today that my son gets up like 4 o'clock in the morning having a nightmare. So,
I know, they're hiring men whose minds are completely gone from Iraq. I'm going to hold you over if need be, but Bob, they're now announcing Army brigades to patrol America. As you know, we covered it last week. They are now. Police brutality is just exploding everywhere. The police have been told, basically, have your way with the public. I mean, is the government looking for a war, Bob?
They're looking for civil insurrection so they can put it down before too many people are mad enough to stop them. And if they nip it in the bud now and do not allow the total breakdown financially and economically within society, because that will make everybody mad at government and other things, and they won't have anything. They won't have anything to lose except their lives, and they'll figure maybe I'll lose them anyway,
but,
and
I mean,
they'll fight back. So they want to get them before that.
Well, there's all these videos where the women do nothing. The men, they're tasered, they're beaten, they're attacked, and it's really destroying the police name out there. God help us. So what ended up happening to your wife? Did they take her to jail after they beat her up? Ricardo?
Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, one of the cops, they told her, get in the car, you F bitch. So they had it in the car, and they take it to the hospital to do some urine tests. So the officer told my wife, you better shut up because I'm going to call divers on you. So they would threaten her. They took it to the hospital.
Call who on you? Did they threaten to CPS your children?
And the officer told my wife that they were going to send Dyfus to my house to...
Stay there. We're going to skip the break. We're going to be talking behind the scenes. Okay, Ricardo, continue. Sent who? I don't understand you. Sent who to your house?
No. The officer told my wife, you know, he was really nasty and told my wife, you know what? You shut up because I'm going to send Dyfus to your house.
What's Dyfus?
Dyfus is the when you mistreat your son.
No, I knew it. That's how they beat you up, then they steal your children. God help you. So what? He was mad that she hadn't been drinking, so he decided to beat her up, and then how did this end?
But, you know, my wife didn't drink. She had a surgery in a... You know, and they give you some local.
No. I mean, I understand. So, no, there's big articles where people go to the dentist and they CPS their kids. So, tell me.
They took her to the hospital, Because they want to do some kind of test. So all of a sudden, this guy tells, my wife is a small thing, Alex. She's 5'2", 120 pounds. That guy was 6'4", 6'5", at least 300 pounds.
I know.
Two guys. So my wife was desperate, tried to find out where's my son. I'm dry, I need water. So the guy told my wife, sit right there. My wife said, I cannot see. It hurts. And you already destroyed me. So all of a sudden, she gets up, and the guy jumps on top of her, and that's it. They broke all the stitches in her leg. She started bleeding unstoppable. Oh. And those son of my gun, they would tell me, yeah, your wife is in headquarters. And I was in headquarters waiting for her like an idiot while she was in the hospital. All of a sudden, I get an anonymous call from the hospital saying that your wife is in this hospital. Come over to the hospital. So I told the guy, I said, why are you being lying to me? My wife is not in the headquarters. She's at the hospital. So they knew that I was on my way to the hospital.
Yeah,
so
lying to the American people is like part of the game. It's like a cat playing with a mouse. Your pain is nothing but pleasure for these demons of hell that are rapidly... Now, how did all this end? They didn't kidnap your son, did they?
No. They gave me my son in... And they give her a DWI ticket. You see when somebody...
Yeah, well, they want to get you in the system. That's how they really get you for the national debt, is as a slave. By getting you into the criminal system, you are now their slave here in this life. And, New Jersey, sir, is one of the worst. Florida's very bad. New York is very bad. Michigan's very bad. California's very bad. If I was you, I would flee New Jersey. Bob Chapman, you want to comment on this?
It's terrifying. It's heartbreaking. It goes on all day, every day. And I don't know where they're finding these people to hire on the police departments, but they're not there to protect and serve. They're there to pick on people, make arrests, particularly on minorities. There's no question. There's many racists in our society, and some of them happen to be policemen as well. And, in the states where you can, get a license to carry. And they pull that crap, shoot them.
Well, Bob, that's an interesting perspective on that.
Well, what else are you going to do if you're being attacked?
No, I you go to the FEMA camp. You hand your children over to them. You know, you let them ship the drugs in.
I never, in the last 40 years in the United States, I never, and my wife never, and my children when they became 12 years old, never went a day without carrying a weapon illegally.
Well, Bob, I just think it's wrong. The founding fathers were bad, like the government says, like FEMA teaches, and we should just submit to any level of tyranny or anything evil. That's what freedom's all about. And, you know, this is the land of enslavement, the land of tears. And that, you know, how dare you, a conspiracy theory that it's the land of the free, home of the brave. It's very extreme and sickening. I'm very ashamed of you right now. Ricardo, let's go back to the full audience. All right, well, for those who are listening on the InfoWars stream, not on the M&FM, Ricardo talked about him battering his wife's head in the car, beating her up, busting open stitches from a surgery she had, saying CPS is going to take your child, reveling in the blood, breaking, you know, things. And Ricardo, that's just par for the course. In Iraq, they rape children in front of their parents. They pour battery acid on their body parts and do things Jeffrey Dahmer did. I can't even mention on air official Army reports, so... There was a big article in the Chronicle this week about all the psycho cops, 4 or 5 tours. Hell has taken their souls. Some of them, others just break down. Others still can keep their humanity. How did all this end, Ricardo?
They're still, when the guy jumped on top of her at the hospital, it was dramatical hush, There was some social workers there, and everybody was in shock at the hospital. So
the social workers were not vampiric. They didn't go after you. Well, that's good.
No, they try to help him out actually. But it bothers me. They didn't even want to tell me where she was. She was at the hospital. They tell me. And
well, that's the good news: is that not all the social workers are bad. And more of them are waking up. That's why they have 50% turnaround with new social workers. Half of them just say, I can't do this. And there are actually good divisions of social workers. It's just the system is corrupt and bad. Ricardo, did your wife get out of the hospital?
Yeah, she got out of the hospital, but psychological, Alex, she's destroyed. She will not dry. My son gets up like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, crying, shaking.
Well, that's why they do it. It's to let you know, sit down, shut up. The Congress has been told, sit down and shut up. The Army brigades are here, and it's disgusting. Listen, Ricardo, I appreciate your call. We'll pray for you and your wife. What's your wife's name?
Irma.
Irma. Okay, Ricardo, take care. Bob, you know, this is the one thing I don't like about this show. I have stacks of news of government corruption, and people think I'm trying to make the government look bad. No, I can't bring myself half the time to even cover it. And I know it's true and worse than Ricardo could even describe. And I don't even hate these people anymore. I am just so disgusted that we have a nation of men that aren't manly. I mean, a real man doesn't enjoy beating the hell out of women. A real man doesn't enjoy fighting people that are weak. A real man, doesn't like fighting, but if they have to, you know, that men are warriors. They want to fight other warriors. And it's just, I don't know. It's these emasculated, tough guys that watch fake wrestling growing up, that play the violent video games, and they go to the military and get brainwashed, and they're mad dogs. Bob Chapman, you want to speak to that?
No, I think you're absolutely right, Alex. And you know, many of these men have been in 3 or 4 tours over there. And, you know, what else do we expect them to come back as? I mean, their lives have been in jeopardy all day long, every day. Every time they're out there, their adrenaline's pumping 100 miles an hour. And, by the time they're in their 30s, they're totally physically and mentally burned out. And, obviously, police departments are hiring them. And so it's not unusual to have things like this happen. It's because we shouldn't have had a war in the first place. And if we were going to have a war, at least we should have sent enough people to be able to do what we have to do.
Well, I'm going to say this.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and it's happening more and more. Nobody better ever do anything to my children, because I just can't control myself. And I think the police know that's starting to happen with people. I mean, you can only push so far. And so what do you say to that, Bob?
If anybody laid just a hand on one of my children or tried to do anything to them, of course they're older now, they're your age, they better go into hiding because I ain't taking any prisoners. And if I go to jail for the rest of my life or I get hung, that's the price I got to pay. But I'm taking them down.
Well, that's the attitude that made this country great. And that when tyrants are afraid, they're not afraid anymore. And, Bob, I think the establishment does realize at the top, but low level, I don't think these bullies realize what's rising. I don't think they understand what is waiting behind just a thin wall, a thin line, just waiting on the other side. I don't think they have any idea, Bob.
Well, I know there's going to be trouble, but they think they can handle it, just like they thought they could handle the last corrupt bubble on Wall Street, which was the real estate bubble.
Or just like they thought the whole Israeli... Or just like the Israeli...
Incidentally, those guys on television today, they've been wrong about everything. There's nothing they've been right about.
Well, Bob, they also thought that the entire Israeli military can handle a few Hezbollah and checkerboard foundations. But those guys said, we're not retreating, we're not backing off, we're going all the way. And you just can't stop people that are like that, can you, Bob?
No, you can't, and you're fighting on their territory, and, you know, the Israelis have not told us the truth.
Stay there. We're going to skip this break. We're going to skip this for InfoWars stream listeners. Here we go. Bob, go ahead and make your point about how they've, quote, been wrong about everything. I mean, they're the authors of this, and then get into the Israeli thing. Go ahead.
And the invasion of Lebanon, they just got the crap kicked out of them. And then, in the last 72 hours... before the declared truce, they dropped thousands and thousands of these bombs with the things that go out that hang in trees and are on the ground. What do they call them?
Cluster bombs, and they also use nerve gas.
And all they're killing today is innocent civilians, children who pick them up on the street and get blown up, and farmers who are out in the fields and touch one, and they don't have any legs anymore. And it's horrible what they did.
Well, they also used, admittedly, nerve gas from artillery. Artillery delivered nerve gas, and then that still didn't work. God help us, man. God help us. Because the New World Order could care less about the police and military. I mean, they don't care if we get into some shooting war with them. In fact, that's part of the larger I-4 plan. Speaking of the bankers, we're going to come back and take calls. We're still on the air right now, though, to the internet audience. Bob, you say that they planned this economic collapse, but it came too early and it's out of control for them. Is it even more out of control for the establishment now, Bob?
I think it is. I think that having to act economically with no way out, no way to go back, has really stuck them. And even knowing that, and they know more about this than I do because they planned it, even knowing that, they still went ahead with the real estate bubble and the securitization of mortgages, gouging not only the public, but particularly other bankers in other countries. You know, 48% of that toxic waste was bought by bankers in Europe, never mind how much was bought in Asia, and we'll guess at 55%. So what they did is they laid the paper on these people, and then they got laid the rest of it off in the United States into what they couldn't lay off, because what happened is Meredith Whitney came out and said, well, Citigroup isn't worth what they say it is because of this and that, and that started the ball rolling, an untoward event that they never thought would happen. And it happened, and that just really complicated things for them because that brought on the credit crisis. And so, yes, they've got serious, serious, unsolvable problems. And then they troop these people up and tell us how smart they are. I want to tell you something. My score on the SAT was 1595 out of a 1600. So they are not any smarter than I am. And we know what they're doing. And we're going to catch them at it. And we're going to try them.
Stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. Stay there. Welcome back. Bob Chapman was just going over the fact that the New World Order folks are not invincible. And he was saying they're going to be caught, they're going to be tried, they're going to be brought to justice. Ron Paul was saying that former Fed chairman needs to be arrested in the current one. That's a headline we need at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. That's a fireball out there. And that's the kind of talk we need to punish these people. And then that'll bring confidence back in the markets. Bob, you were talking about people not trusting us. Then we're going to Cole, Brian, Christopher, Jamie, and others. The Chinese are no longer doing interbank lending with the United States. Germany and Reuters, their government saying the U.S. is collapsing, will lose its financial superpower status. I mean, it's happening. Bailout or no, it looks like it's going. And I don't know if it's going to be 2 years, Bob. And we've got just on and on in here. What do you say to this report out of AP, also out of Shanghai, that China... Here's a Reuters. China banks told to halt lending to U.S. banks, SCMP. I mean, break that down technically for folks.
SCMP?
Yes. Well, I mean, break down the fact that Germany's talking about may suspend lending, and then China's saying they are halting lending.
Alex, we can sum it up very quickly and say, what took them so long? I mean, they've known this has been going on. You know, they're probably saying to one another in China and in Frankfurt and Paris, you know, how long are we going to put up with this? Enough already. We don't need it. And they're burying every other country, all to bail themselves out. And, you know, they've gotten away with it time after time because of the Fed control and who owns the Fed. And they think they can get away with it again. And there is protest. Whether it will evolve into an active situation where the Chinese don't buy Treasury paper or any other agency paper or any other paper from the U.S. government or Europeans do that, I don't know. I've been waiting for it to happen for several years, and it hasn't happened, so I don't know when it's going to happen. But, you know, the constituents, the citizens of those countries have got to be saying to the government, look, you know, they're going to destroy us. And so something is going to happen, and it's starting to happen. And when it starts to happen, you have that breakdown. And I think in time, if it happened quickly, I think that the United States would be forced to walk away from their debt. They would have to renege on it. They would have to go bankrupt. I don't see any other way out for them. And that means people throughout the world wouldn't take the dollar. I mean, they would have to have some sort of a medium of exchange that people could trust. And the backing on that medium of exchange would have to be someplace outside the United States, say, in a neutral country like Switzerland or Sweden. And they would have to probably start a new currency order. And all of the currency that they had before would be worthless.
Well, that's what China, India, Russia are talking about, a new cooperative, the ring of other nations, a new world order system. They're calling it the new world order with a new currency. And Europe's talking about maybe allying with that. This looks like it was planned to me to bring the U.S. down. The deindustrialization, the setup, the CIA releasing the torture photos, making 9/11 so sloppy where it was obvious the government did it, to then be blamed on the U.S., not on the globalist hand inserted into the Anglo-American system. I mean, Bob, don't you smell and see, and I saw this in some of their documents, you know, pieces of this, a plan to set us up, or are you saying they're not that big of a virtuoso?
Well, I think it was surprising that China said what they said, and they were going along with the program, so to speak. They had to know what was going on. They're not dumb. And so maybe this is part of a larger plan. And, you know, maybe if the United States were to have insurrection, maybe they would invite foreign troops in to quell this uprising that can't be controlled by the American military, because 80% of them probably wouldn't shoot at their own citizens.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the people running the system are not stupid, and they know putting cops in black uniforms and telling them get rough with the public, and then that goes out all over TV and the web. I mean, they know that this is setting the police and military up. I mean, they've got to know that the military and the police, if they go up against the American people and 1% fight back, that they're going to get their butts kicked. I mean, 1% of the gun owners is over 100 million, over 1 million combatants out of that 100 million. My God, I mean, it's like Mark.
They don't stand a chance, and it could evolve where this new world order philosophy. We would have a president, one of these two jamokes that are running for the office right now, and they could invite the UN to bring in troops. And
well, I mean, Canada actually signed a deal.
They have to fight the American military along with the public.
Well, the United, yeah, going into global receivership.
And you know something I've said for years, blue helmets make great targets.
Well, God knows what's going to happen. The point is, quietly a decade ago, they signed deals with Mexico and Canada to use troops, quote, to deal with American terrorists and for violence, breakdown of society, civil unrest is the word. Now they signed a deal publicly, remember in January of this year, up in Canada with Mexican and Canadian troops to, quote, use them in the U.S. for emergencies. And then the Congress said, hey, we didn't authorize that. And the Northcom just said, go to hell. Folks, I know it all sounds crazy, but what's happening now sounds crazy. You can't make this stuff up. Let's take some calls. I don't want to get into some other financial issues with Bob Chapman. We'll also tell you how to get his newsletter before he leaves us. Cole in Florida. Go ahead, Cole.
How you doing, Alex? Thanks for waking me up. And you're a modern-day Morpheus. I wanted to bring attention to a show I called in earlier this week, and they had a talking point talking about an October surprise from Al-Qaeda. And I brought up some good points to the show, which is 100.7 FM WFLA, the morning show with Preston Scott and Eric Eggers. And I brought up Zbigniew Brzezinski and a couple other facts about the Northwoods document and the Gulf of Tonkin. And they failed to prove their point against me, and they just decided to call me names and not acknowledge any of the facts that I stated.
Well, I guess it's funny, and they'll just end up being homeless.
Right, and his main thing was, he said, I love those truther guys that call in and think that we created our own destruction and our own demise and our own terrorists. And I was really appalled, and I said I needed to call in. I was real nervous about calling into the show, but I felt I had to call in, and I've been doing research for over 3-4 years, so I'm pretty well knowledgeable on what's going on here. And I just was calling in to congratulate you on what you're doing and keep up the good work.
Well, and Cole, another thing
I want to bring to your attention is Michelle Obama and Jill Biden are coming to Tallahassee, which is where I'm at. And I was thinking about confronting them. I was wondering, did you have any advice?
Well, they taser some people now, so just be polite. But, you know, get the question out, and I would just the key is we know their New World Order, so you're not going to change their mind, but...
Right.
But I don't really even know about Michelle Obama. I know about her husband, but I know about Biden. Boy, he's a ring knocker, you know, a kingpin, and all this. I would just bring up the fact to them that don't betray your people. It's not too late to turn back and say no to the New World Order. I would bring up to them that will you investigate government sponsored terrorism? What do you think, Bob? What's an idea for Cole to ask of these people?
Well, I think that probably the most important thing on people's minds right now is the economy. And so, how are you going to produce more jobs? Are you going to let Wall Street get away with what Congress has let them get away with by this legislation to loot the American public? What is your take on that, Mr. Obama?
Yeah, that's a great question. Cole, what's that radio station again? And maybe others in your area can call in the next few days and support you.
Okay, it's 100.7 FM WFLA, and the show is called The Morning Show. And the host I confronted was Preston Scott and Eric Eggers.
Well, I would also just call in and say, hey, it's declassified that Gulf of Tonkin was staged. It's declassified. The USS Liberty was staged, and you can give them mainstream news and say, you act like this isn't going on. Good to hear from you, Cole. Brian in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got two questions for you. Actually, a question and a comment for you today. I just got done reading the proposed constitutional model for the new states of America by the Center for Democratic Studies. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
In Santa Barbara, California?
Yes, sir. I was wondering both of your opinions on this. Is this something that they might have waiting in the wings where they developed this legislation years before and then bring it into effect, or is this just an idea they had 30 years ago?
They already tried to run that through at the sesquicentennial, if memory serves right, and that's a Carnegie Ford finance deal. I'm going from memory, but Bob even knows where they're located. Is my memory serving?
Oh, yes, I know them well. We removed their bell one time.
Oh, tell us about that, Bob, back from the wars.
Oh, they have a bell there that they used to ring, and everybody would come, and they'd have their meetings, very illuminist. Hutchinson used to run the place, and it's an illuminist training ground for things of the future, and that's basically what it is.
Okay, I hope that answers.
I never told my nephew that we took their bell because he's just the assistant chief of police there.
Anyways, go ahead, Cole. I mean, not Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
I was just curious if you thought this was something they might try to institute in the future after they crash the economy and possibly try to bring this legislation in.
Yeah, they've been trying to set up this new system. I remember reading over that document more than a decade ago. I know they proposed it officially, didn't they, on the sesquicentennial and got some government funding for some big disgusting event.
It's all foundations, usually.
Yep.
It's a payoff also for people who have towed the line. And they get a nice salary and that sort of thing.
Brian, I got to move quick here because I got some other questions. What was your comment?
Just very quickly, I just wanted to recommend a book called The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. If anybody wants to understand what's going on in the country right now, I think that pretty much lays it out.
Yeah, The Shock Doctrine of the IMF, which is designed to destroy an economy so they can consolidate it. But let's go ahead and talk to Christopher in Georgia. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? I just had a quick question, kind of for closure, I guess, if I could put it that way. And it deals with the end of Dr. Paul's fight for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
If all of his supporters were behind him till the very end, come what may, and we risked all the resources that we had or we barely had to raise money for him and spread his message and wouldn't have abandoned him for anything,
mm-hmm.
why was there not a relentless effort, you know, on his part or on for our behalf to expose the voter fraud that we all suspected?
Well, look, we asked Ron Paul to run. He's the best candidate we had. He's not perfect. His chief of staff died. His wife's almost dead. He's 73 years old and really burnt out, okay, if you really want to know. He's got arthritis so bad he can barely open up his hands. He does 10, 15 radio interviews a day. He's burnt out, and there's a lot of backstabbing, and a lot of second-guessing now. And the point is that he got in the arena, he got bloodied, he burned himself out. I'm a young man, and this stuff's tough on me. And so I'm hearing a lot of talk shows say 9/11 Truth's dead, bad-mouthing Ron Paul, all this crap, and then other people are kind of Mockingbird and picking that up. Now, I was worried about this the whole time because there was delusion. Even when he was shutting down the campaign, it was, that's a lie, it's not really over. And, you know, some of these people said I was lying. Ron Paul hadn't told me that, you know, he didn't want people to try to take delegates from McCain. And then Ron Paul had to come on air and say he had said that, and I was still bad. And I'm not bashing you here, Christopher. It's just Ron Paul was one person, one vehicle to wake up tens of millions and energize the young people on campus. And we did that, and it was one more step in the fight. This is a long fight. It didn't one punch. It's bam, bam, bam. It goes 12 rounds, and then it goes 12 rounds again. And it's who wants it. You understand that? It's over and 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 over, and you don't stop. It's going the distance. It's going all the way. It's the dedication. It's the commitment. You understand that? And for those that get in the arena, it's easy to imagine things are fun. And I'm sure you're in the arena, too. The point is that Ron Paul, you know, has done a great job. He's not perfect, but no one is. And we just need to keep our bullets down range on the New World Order. Anything else, Christopher?
Yeah. My wife is in the Navy Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, in the event of a major financial crisis or depression here in this country,
mm-hmm.
do you believe that those serving in the armed forces are going to suffer from, you know, any type of pay slash or I wouldn't say unemployment, but how would they compensate?
They're not compensating the troops for the inflation. Thanks for the call, and I wasn't trying to bash you, Christopher, but do you want to comment on what he was saying about Ron Paul?
Well, I think people are disappointed, and they don't understand the things that you do. And, you know, the man is 73 years old. He's 2 months older than I am. And he's not as lucky as I am. I don't have anything wrong with me. He does. And he did the best he could. And he woke up a lot of people. He showed that there was a lot of people who are unhappy in America. He brought the message to young people, which is most important. And I think he did a great job, and he just couldn't take it all away. With his wife sick and his campaign manager gone, and the sniping, even from the upper echelon of the supposed right wing of the Republican Party, and I'm not talking about the fascists in Washington, and it wasn't easy for him, and I think you got to cut him a little slack. Just be happy he was there for us.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, and put his life in danger. I mean, and folks, you can't take victory from yourself. I mean, this was a big victory. And instead of us coming together and breaking campaign records and all that, you know, COINTELPRO goes out and plants seeds of where'd all the money go? Well, it's all accounted for. We know where it all went. It was all spent. And, you know, well, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? We just, you know, keep it down range, folks. Ron Paul isn't the problem. Okay? He's not the problem. You know, I mean, it's that simple. I asked him to run, so that meant, and I begged him to run privately, and he said I was one of the people that finally turned him to do it, telling him it would be big, and it was big. And, you know, he opened doors for folks that are coming in the future. Bob Chapman, behind the scenes at Infowars.com, because we're out of time. I want to come back to the final segment here and maybe cram in a few final calls but with you. But in the 3 minutes we're about to have behind the scenes, folks got to go to the Infowars.com stream to hear this right now. We know that 740-something financial institutions, the inner criminal syndicate, the brokerage firms, the banks, the hedge funds, they don't have shorts are banned against them, which can be very damaging to their companies when they're in trouble. But then they got all this money from a previous bailout to go attack the real economy, and they're looting that as well. So really, this is a takeover, not just a bailout. So I want to get your take on that right now. Then we'll be back for everybody else in the final segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back at InfoWars.com.
Keep it.
Okay, Bob, can you break that down?
Well, it's a consolidation of power, the way I see it. And some of the people who are involved, who will be left by the wayside, have been devoted to serving the evil master, if you may, the Illuminists. But they don't care about that. They're trying to bring together a situation where there's perhaps five major brokerage houses in the country and perhaps five major banks. And don't hang on the numbers. They're just guesses. And that consolidates their power. And they're going to do the same thing in transportation and manufacturing in different segments. They're going to do it with utilities. It's all part of National Socialism. Read Mussolini's playbook on it. And for those who don't know, Mussolini was a Marxist before he was as a fascist. And it's the marriage of the state with corporations and industries, and the government will end up owning everything. So all of these financial bodies, we'll call them, that get left by the wayside, they don't care about that. And they don't care about the shareholders, obviously. They care about the bondholders of Fannie and Freddie because they're going to pay them off because most of them are foreigners. I think it's 1.1 out of 1.4 trillion in bonds belong to foreigners in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Well, legally, to bail them out and not the shareholders is insanity. I mean, they can't get away with that, but they're doing anything they want because we already have a dictatorial government.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Bob, and that's why this is contrived. It's admittedly contrived, but it's even scarier that you're saying that you think they've lost some control. I think it's also an opportunity for us, the old Chinese symbol of, opportunity has a negative and a positive side to it. You know, may you live in interesting times. We certainly live in those. And then these are times where people are listening now. They are paying attention to what we say. And so all of you out there, this is the time to show people documentary films about the New World Order. This is the time to call into talk shows. This is the time to be heard. And I'm glad to hear on local talk radio, every other caller is talking about the New World Order on mainstream stations and about how the Federal Reserve is private and how they engineered it. And so they are losing their control, and this is going to be a growing up process for people, and we may actually get some real liberty out of this at the end of the day, Bob.
Well, we may get some real leaders, too, younger men your age, that can evolve over the next 30 years and take our country back to where it should be, that will force government to lay the blame on these people and punish them for what they've done. And, I'm not talking about taking them all out and hanging them. I'm talking about taking their wealth away from them, which essentially they stole from the American public.
Bob, we're into the final segment. I wanted to get, here we go, folks. All right. We're almost out of time. Theinternationalforecaster.com. Go there, get a free copy. By signing up, he'll send you one. Comes out twice a week, the hard copy, a couple times a month. Internationalforecaster.com will give you a number. Now, there's also a number, Bob. Do you have that on you for people to call and get a free copy?
Yeah, I do. Where is it?
Well, while you're digging it out, Ted Anderson gave a gold offer today of basically gold at below spot because he was able to buy it before it went up again. It's a no-brainer for people to call our sponsor, Midas Resources, and get high-quality gold at very good prices and silver. I mean, Ted's even having trouble getting it. There is a shortage while they try to suppress the price. How long can they suppress it? I mean, it's already gone up $100, but...
It's hard to say. I don't think it's going to be too much longer. And that phone number you're looking for to call in for a free introductory copy of the International Forecaster is 877-479-8178, and that's toll-free, 877-479-8178. Or you can go to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com on the Internet.
Bob, in closing, when do you think gold's going to, I mean, it's gone up over $100 in the last week and a half, and they're doing everything they can to suppress it, but it's like holding a beach ball underwater. When will it go up, you know, past 1,000, and then how high do you think it'll go in the next year?
Well, we certainly have a shot at over 1,000. The next year, we got to be looking somewhere between 2,200 and 3,000. And, you know, once they stop suppressing, because they don't have any more gold, like you say, it's going to be the beach ball theory under the water. And there's no telling what will happen. And you've got to, you must be in gold and silver-related assets. If you have any money at all, of course, you should have paid all your bills off and your credit cards and are prepared with food and weapons and filters and things like that. There's a lot of things for you to do. There's a lot of responsibility for you and for your family, and you got to do it now.
But there may come a time when the dollars are worthless in the bank sooner rather than later, and people will wish they transferred some of them into gold and silver before it was devalued. Bob, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Amazing interview there. I'm sorry to the other callers. I'll get to you tomorrow. In fact, if you call in tomorrow and you say that you didn't get on today, front of the line tomorrow. Other big guests tomorrow, important information. I wanted to bring Ted up in the last minute and a half. Ted, I was just thinking, that's why I drug you in here, I was thinking, man, it's crazy. I mean, I totally believe in gold and silver. It's great prices. It's an introductory thing to get folks into the market. People don't need to wait until this thing even goes up more. In fact, I'm going to call you today and get some of that silver to try to position myself even better. Tell folks about the offer. You got 1 minute.
Yeah, sure. Of course, we got the British sovereigns. They're at 241. We got the francs. They're at 196. And we have the silver. And they're at $1.60 a dime. I got to tell you, it's pandemonium right now, Alex. There's just so many things that are going on. I can't express it enough. People need, not if you should get in, and not when there might be a crash. We're having the crash. It's all coming
folks,
right now.
Folks, we've told you what's happening. We told you what's going on. The paper is going down the tubes. The globalists are engineering this, and it goes up, it goes down. But I mean, they're telling you depression. They're looting everything. Give Ted Anderson's brokers a call, 800-686-2237, 1-800-686-2237. Folks, we'll be there till midnight on that smoking deal on gold and silver. I hope you'll protect yourselves, get some firearms, food as well. But mainly, wake your neighbors, your friends, your family up. Know who to blame. Discredit the criminal government. Again, that number, 1-800-686-2237. That's basically it for this transmission. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Alex.
Now, I had Ron Paul on in the second hour. I had Webster Tarpley on right near the front of the show. Amazing analysis. And I had Bob Chapman on. Please tune in now for the retransmission at InfoWars.com only. Thanks to all the affiliate sponsors. Everybody, God bless you all. We'll be right back at InfoWars.com.